much about.
Go jump in the Great Lake 200.
On November 10th, 1975, the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in this largest lake in the Western Hemisphere. Kevin,
what is Superior?
Yep.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Church bell chimed to the ring 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Why? They have other songs they can play, even if you want to be depressing. You can play Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, about a boat that went down. Any song can perk up the party, but when you need a good depressing number to clear the people out, own that record. When they start, put it on, everybody leaves. Just go. And a wave hit the boat, and they all died like rats. And they lay there, and their lungs filled with water. You know what, Rich? We're going to take off, man. Are you sure? Yeah, we're going to. And back on the shore, their wives had no insurance, and their children turned to drugs and prostitution. Sure, you got to go. Yeah, by the time we slash our wrists and burn the house down, the traffic's bad, you know.
And now,
Gordon Lightfoot sang a song about a boat that sank in the lake at the break of the morning.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
How long you been here?
3 seconds. Did you start
early?
You started early.
No, we started right on time.
Come on.
Psycho Mike, back me up there.
That was right on.
When I'm getting off the freeway and I hear that Nirvana song, I go, oh no, that's so short. That's such a short song. Why can't it be Smells Like Teen Spirit? I have all day.
I figured you stopped by to get supplies for the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald 35th anniversary party today. I figured you were doing your own celebrating maybe and you had to get a costume or something like that for the party later.
Oh, you.
Look, for a guy like me that loves death, you got to understand that today is one of my favorite days of all time because it's the most mysterious of all the Great Lake shipwrecks. And today's the 35th anniversary.
And what a category. All the Great Lake shipwrecks. That's a good category.
Over 5,000 of them.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to tell me.
This one killed the most, so I'm very happy. But we're going to talk about it some more in a minute when we get to the phone calls and talk to James.
Not going to do that at all.
In fact, all day long we'll have constant updates and tributes. From the activities that are happening.
How did we have updates? How long have they been all dead?
Well, since 1975, 35 years ago.
Where are the updates?
There are no updates.
None.
There's no talk.
All sorts of. Hey, last year I visited the Bell that they brought up from the ship. I've got my picture taken with the Bell from the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You can't imagine how little we care about that.
I stayed in the Coast Guard quarters at the lighthouse at Whitefish Bay, which is where they were headed.
It's a new thriller.
All right, I can't. Look, it's my favorite day of all time. But I'm even going to put my love for the Edmund Fitzgerald aside for maybe the greatest story of 2010.
Really?
I'm telling you. I almost don't want to waste this right now. I almost want to save this for later because it's so great.
There's a lot of story. I mean, we're already in November, so that's...
I know. Well,
the greatest. Yeah. We'll be the judge of that. Go ahead. We can do it later again if we need to.
Guy, the police respond. This happens in South Carolina, I guess. The police respond. A resident had complained of a burglar. They show up and they find the burglar, and he's in this guy's house, and he is naked inside the doorway of the victim's home.
Naked.
He is naked, right. I don't know why he's attempting to burgle naked.
I like the word burgle.
So the deputy tries to make contact with the man. The guy jumps up and slaps him. So the deputy does what? He pulls out his taser, tasers the guy. That's policy. No effect on the man. The officer and other officers who have been called for backup now attempt to handcuff him when the guy starts trying to kick everybody in the room. So then they pepper spray him.
Yes.
Undeterred, the man continues to kick at the officers and otherwise evade capture. He is then, what's left of the arsenal, struck with a police baton several times as the man attempted to bite the deputy.
Wow.
By the way, police are trained for stuff like this, and they've got a few things that they try. Then they throw a blanket over the man's head.
So they brought out the big guns. They got a blanket.
Well, so that he can't bite because he's trying to bite everybody. He's biting everybody up in here. So they throw a blanket on him, and they wrestle him down, and they finally place shackles on his legs and arms. So he's hogtied now.
All right.
And then, obviously, there's something going on with the dude. They think he's on drugs, potentially mushrooms is how it looks, based on his superhuman strength and the fact that nothing seems to affect him. He's got the glassy-eyed look in his eye. So they take him to the hospital. During the medical exam at the hospital, and here's where it goes from a really, really, really entertaining arrest to maybe the greatest story of 2010, medical personnel found a mouse tail hanging from the man's rectum.
Oh, no.
An x-ray revealed that the man, in fact, did have a mouse in his butt.
Yay!
He had a lot of stuff going on that day between the mushrooms and then the mouse up in there, right?
The mouse was dead, right?
At some point. In the story, it says he told emergency room personnel that he could not remember what had happened to him.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, my God.
He was charged with resisting arrest, first and third degree assault, a battery charge, indecent exposure. The article does not confirm the condition of the mouse.
Look, I understand the blackout. I do. I understand that. But if that happens, somehow that cuts through.
Like, right.
There's some kind of memory where you go, yeah, I remember something about a rat.
It's too far out of the norm for you just it
ignore
to
that, like,
burn into your brain.
Like somebody spilled a drink on you. It's different. Very different.
Naked, taser, pepper spray, police baton, emergency room, mouse in the ass. Come on. It's got to be a candidate for story of the year,
I agree, but I thought mushrooms are supposed to be
everything.
Cool and like you're just like things are psychedelic.
Yeah,
this sounds
that
like
way.
PCP.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Or meth, maybe.
Well, believe me, I'm putting a Google alert in for this guy's name, and I'm going to continue to follow this story perhaps for the rest of my life. In fact, we may be celebrating the 35th anniversary
at one point
of the day we heard about the guy with the mouse in his butt.
I'd be down with that.
All right, good times. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, Universal Studios Home Entertainment, which is my favorite of all the studio home entertainment companies, has released on Blu-ray and DVD the definitive Back to the Future, all three movies in one collection. It's the 25th anniversary trilogy, and you get it on DVD for being on the air with us at 1-800-520-1067. Well, you want to just go ahead and start with James? He's got a very important call today.
James, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I just want to say Edmund Fitzgerald's super weak. Anybody who cares about it is probably a pedophile.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Hi, Psycho Mike.
I saw you go
into the next room to pick up the phone to pretend to be James, who's online, too.
And then the dumbasses out there right up, Mike.
Yeah. They did kind of give it away, didn't they?
All right. We're looking for James. Is this James? This is Joel. I'm sorry.
Hey,
Joel.
Joel. What'd it do?
I'm sorry, Bean, I hit the wrong line.
Yeah, you sure did. How come when he said, is this James, Joel, you couldn't put two and two together and say no?
Yeah, I was trying to.
Oh, I didn't know. Anyways, I just want to say I hate procrastination. I waited 2 months to start on my midterm paper, and it's 15 pages long, and I've been up all night doing it.
Yes, it's due today?
Yeah, I haven't yet. Due today.
50 pages.
And you waited till last night.
Yeah, I just started at 8 o'clock last night and haven't slept. Like 3 monster cans gone through.
How many pages are you into this?
I'm like 10, and I got like 4 hours to finish.
It's not going to happen.
That is going to be such a BS paper. You know how
Joel
you
is not going to crank out 40
he
pages.
Yes, but it's going to be crap. You know how you say one thing, and then you start getting all flowery with it, and you add 75 words to say the exact same thing just to fill up space?
Oh, man.
That's going to be a crappy paper. I like that you knew for 2 months.
He hates procrastination.
He does hate it.
Like, it happens to him somehow.
It does.
Oh, there must be somebody he can blame, though. It can't be his fault, right?
No.
Correct. Well, he's not Dave the King of Mexico.
Let's go to James now, line 2, calling about the 35th anniversary of the wrecking of the Edmund Fitzgerald in Lake Superior. Hi, James.
Hi, Justin.
What'd it do?
I was just calling about the Lakers being 8-0. I'm so stoked. I hope they could go at least 12-0 and beat their record.
It was an ugly 8th, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
Is 12 the record to open a season? Is that the record you got your eyes on?
I think it's 11-0 what they've done before, so 12-0.
Oh, what the Lakers have done before?
Or I didn't know if that's what you meant with consecutive wins at any point in the season. Specifically.
Oh, no, I think that's more than that, but at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong start right there. But Dave is still walking around like it's the Clippers' crown to lose, isn't he?
He is. But he does that anyway, regardless.
Right.
So, what are you going to do? Thank you for the call. Well, I wish we had someone else to go to, but we just
Well, there's James. I mean, we got James calling about the big anniversary today.
I don't see him.
No, I don't.
You see him?
It's not
Lisa?
On my call screener. That's so weird. Mm. What are you looking at, Pete?
I don't see anyone.
Mm-mm.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No, I want my bacon. I got to tell you something. Bacon is good for me.
I like the little bacon kid.
That kid.
There's a British scientist who has figured out a way to do a test for STDs. And I believe, I don't know if it's on your iPhone or it's some kind of electronic.
Really?
Yes.
Pee on a chip or something.
Pee on a chip. You have to pee on a chip.
Yeah, no kidding.
Come in here, Chip.
No, I don't. I don't think it's her. We're not pee on her. No.
Oh, I see. But anyway, yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's kind of great.
You can test for STDs.
Wow.
Look, there was a time where it sounded like science fiction that you could take a pregnancy test at home just by peeing on a stick. So, I mean, it does kind of make sense that technology like this would exist.
Funny man Jay Moore will be in the studio today.
He's great.
He's the best.
Yeah.
I find myself not having to do anything when he comes in. I like that. You just sit and laugh.
Yeah, let him go.
True. Just let him go. He goes crazy. Chris Pine will be on the program today. Who Lisa loves.
I do love him, sir.
He's one of the stars of Unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Unstoppable.
Which is the one about that train that goes out of control and wrecks the economy, if I remember your description
that's
yesterday.
That's what we heard yesterday, yes.
Nope.
Potentially could wreck the economy if it crashes.
I wouldn't say that. That's ridiculous. I believe environment is what I would have said. I would have chosen the correct word.
Right.
Yeah. We have another story from Vegas that we have to tell you about Producer Dave. Producer Dave plays possum, and it's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. He really is. When Alex goes away, who's our main producer, and then Dave takes over, all hell breaks loose on every level.
But I remember before you left, Dave saying, I'm not going to drink.
I'm going to go to bed by midnight. But then when
he's the producer and he needed to be responsible this time.
But then,
Dave runs the show when Alex is out of town.
Right.
The way I imagine Joe Biden would be president if he had to.
Right.
just willy-nilly.
Just all hell's going to break loose. And he's not going to know why, but it's not going to be his fault.
Exactly.
We also have a new internet roundup for you. A great one.
Okay.
You're going to love it. Omar is going to be here with his Glee cap.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
And I'm glad because I didn't see Glee because I was watching the Lakers.
I didn't see it either.
I sure hope it's the last Glee cap ever.
I don't want to give too much away, but judging by Bean's tweets.
Oh, no. What?
Omar may have more support this week. And that's Am I right, Bean?
Bean,
are you turning on it?
I've been turning on it all season because it's been a terrible season, but last night was not – well, we can save it for later, last night was not only the worst Glee, it was one of the worst hours of television I've ever seen.
Yeah, I have to say, there have been a couple of times where Omar did his Glee cap and then Bean said, yeah, wasn't that good, and I just deleted it.
You didn't even watch it?
I didn't even watch
really?
It.
Really? You're going to let those two tell you what to watch?
Well,
Lisa, I insist you watch this one just so people don't think I'm just piling on.
Right.
Seriously, try to get through it.
Okay.
Okay.
Bean tends to exaggerate some.
I know, that is true.
And Omar is so far over the top that, you know, you really
but
have
to. It's hard not to be swayed.
What are you, in third grade? Come on now.
I'm totally easily swayed.
All the cool
swayed.
Kids are doing
you know
it.
That.
And also, just after the top of the hour, if you didn't hear yesterday, we have the great Wing. And,
yes.
Wing might be our favorite singer of all time.
She's awesome.
So we got that coming up as well.
I'm in a boner.
We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Now.
As we mentioned, highlights of our great interview with Wing, the best singer in the whole wide world, coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So please stick around for that. Ralph Garman joins us in studio now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Unstoppable. Starring Denzel Washington and the dreamy Chris Pine, who we'll be talking to later on today.
If they stop the train, that's BS, right?
It's unstoppable. I don't see how they can.
I would say
false advertising and demand my money back.
That's what I'm saying.
If that train stops, I would tell the manager
of
the theater before I went in, if that train in this movie stops, you will be hearing from me in 2 hours, sir.
My lawyers.
That's right. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, November the 12th. But if you're the first caller to get through at 1-800-520-1067, you will be one of the lucky people to see before anybody else at the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
White trains. Black trains.
All will be stopped.
None will be stopped.
Miranda Kerr.
Oh, yes.
Victoria's,
where's the bell?
Victoria's Secret.
Thank you.
Model extraordinaire. Isn't letting a little thing like pregnancy get in the way of her stripping down into the nude.
Whoa.
Into the nude.
This isn't another one of those I'm pregnant and beautiful covers, is it, for a magazine?
W Magazine announces this is another I'm pregnant and beautiful, so I'm going to strip down for the cover issue. And it's not exactly an original idea. Of course, Demi Moore did it in 91 on the cover of Vanity Fair. Britney Spears did it for Harper's Bazaar when she was carrying her second son. And now Miranda Kerr is nude in W Magazine showing off proudly her baby bump and saying, look at me, life grows inside me.
Why don't they get it that they're only beautiful to their partners at that point and not to the rest of us?
I don't agree with that.
Women too.
I've seen the photos. You can see the photos online, and she looks terrific.
All right.
Yeah. Except for that bulging stomach, right? All the stuff we love about Miranda Kerr is still awesome, but way more awesome 6 months ago. That's all.
I think sometimes they do it for women. This might not be so much for you, Bean.
Right. They should stop it.
I think she looks great. Some women.
They should
great
stop it. America is what they should do.
Mm. I mean, it's.
Why do you hate Bean?
There's so many reasons.
It can be good both ways. She can look great when she's not pregnant and also look great when she's pregnant.
Better not. I'm with Bean. Better not.
I don't think it's better. I think it's just different because it's not like she got fat.
Right, true.
It's not like she ate a ton of stuff and now is wildly out of shape. She's just beautiful in a different way.
All right. But what happened to your plan, Ralph, that I thought was a great idea and should have been enacted into law, which requires hot chicks to hire surrogates to carry their children?
Oh, I'm not saying it won't destroy her body.
Okay.
You know. Afterwards, she's going to be useless. But when she's pregnant, I think she looks beautiful.
Okay.
But when she gets all stretched out and things are hanging off her and there's all kinds of marks and scars and battle wounds and craters and,
it's kind of like a car that's been in a serious accident and they can never really restore it to the factory settings.
No. You need like a vag fax. You got to get that when you get a used car. You get the car fax. You got to go to your local dealer and get the vag fax because you got to see what kind of damage was done. There's flooding, electrical problems, and all kinds of things.
That's true.
There is.
Your wife's still asleep, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she's not asleep, but she's not listening. That's all that matters. Wilmer Valderrama.
Pez,
the popular candy dispenser from the show That 70s Show.
Wasn't it Fez?
Maybe.
I'm not familiar.
Who knows?
Apparently hooked up with Demi Lovato.
Uh-oh.
Shortly
and then
after,
sent her to the...
Shortly after she split from Joe Jonas back in March.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep this in mind. If you are keeping score at home, she is 18 years old while he is 30. And apparently they were dating, and she loved to show off photos of her new man to all her friends. And according to insiders, he actually encouraged her to get some help, to get some rehab and some psychological... treatment for her issues at the time they were dating. So apparently he was trying to do the right thing by her. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was still a 30-year-old dude trying to bang a 17-year-old.
18-year-old, you said.
But he is dated.
Very different.
So...
But how long has she been 18? Did she just turn 18?
Yeah, like a month ago.
Yeah.
He's dated so many hot women, and we never hear a bad word about him.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe he's she's a cutter,
like he's
right?
A
that was the,
yeah, that was
her. That was the story. A cutter.
Yep. Yeah.
Also had issues with her weight, with bulimia and anorexia as well. So, keep in mind, he also dated Lindsay Lohan when she was 17 and he was 24. So no wonder we never heard a bad thing about him.
Yeah,
the girls he's dating can barely speak. They're barely old enough to form sentences. That's why
they never
say bad things about him. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, she may be ready for life outside the walls of Betty Ford. TMZ.com spotted her popping into a sober living house over the weekend, and word is she's expected to stay at those new facilities until early next year when her sentence to rehab is over. Well, I'm glad she's healthy enough to go to the sober house. I'm glad she's already healed again. I'm glad she's completely rehabbed. Didn't we learn our lesson the first time around with this?
No,
she's fine. Let her out. She's good. Meanwhile.
No, we didn't learn that at all. She didn't learn that at all.
And Taylor Swift's a big whore.
Yeah.
Best news ever.
Yeah. Star Magazine reports that it's starting to come out more and more, although her image is to be sweet and innocent. She's a bit of a man-eater, according to friends and insiders.
All right.
After a string of men in the last couple of years, which include Taylor Lautner, John Mayer, Corey Monteith of Glee, now Jake Gyllenhaal, they say she's just burning through them.
Yeah, that's hot.
She likes the sausage, is what we're saying.
Who's
Look,
the king?
We've discussed.
That's true. As Kevin points to himself.
Yeah.
We've discussed, though, right now. Does it take very much for if two celebrities have dinner a couple of times for the rest of us to conjure up some sort of a hot sex relationship,
and
right?
And we like it that way.
Plus, she's a whore.
Plus, I don't think so you have anything to base
that. We got that going for us.
You know, now she's going to write a song about you, right? You know, yeah, just for saying great. That.
Excellent.
He said I'm a whore, but I'm not. He hurt me.
If guys don't want me to write bad songs about them, then they shouldn't do bad things.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Or they should. God, never mind.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Jiminy Cricket. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Oh, one of your best friends. Kevin and Bean, love this guy. Had him on the show. Russell Johnson. That's right. The actor who played the professor on Gilligan's Island.
Oh. It's a long time ago.
Celebrates his 86th birthday today.
We had him on the show.
86.
1965, I believe.
That's when he had first season of Gilligan's Island, wasn't it?
Ralph, within the last 2 weeks, I bought the professor's autobiography on Amazon.com. I haven't read it yet, but it did arrive. I just got in the mood one day, and I wondered what his perspective was on his years on Gilligan's Island and since, and I ordered it, and
you
it
are
just
really
arrived.
Borderline now, just too far.
Thanks for that info, Bean!
You're just so far out there.
Like, well, in
with
2010.
Too many zombies in The Walking Dead, and now I'm reading the professor's memoirs.
Look.
You're just, it used to be weird for weird's sake, and now you're just, you've left the planet.
We're doing our best to hold on to you.
Right.
To keep you part of the human civilization, but you're fighting us now.
But I'm interested for
you're
his
You're not interested in his back.
Well, I
what
am.
What could he possibly have to fill a book with that you would be interested in?
I'll let you know after I read it. I've got quite a stack on the bookshelf right now. I mean, I get to it for a while, but
I
certainly
never
want to
hear how
but
busy you are again. Ever.
Is that right behind Tempest Bledsoe's bio that you have to get through first where you get to Gilligan's Island?
No, I didn't get that. That would be stupid.
I'm interested in his perspective.
What his perspective on the Gilligan's Island experience?
And being,
I wonder what that was like.
How did he make a radio out of those coconuts?
And being the guy who was the professor for the last 50 years of his life, what's that been like, too? I'm interested
Bad.
In that as well.
Bad. He was known for one gig that he had in the 60s and for the rest of his life had to talk to people like you. Who wanted to know what his perspective was about being on the island.
What's your perspective on being on the island?
Why did Gilligan get the top bunk of the hammocks?
Well, happy birthday, Russell Johnson.
You are
That's
bad on
saying.
Every level.
Tracy Morgan!
Oh, he's going to be here later on today.
He will be. He's 42 years old today. Actress Ellen Pompeo of Grey's Anatomy is 41. Warren G. celebrates his 40th birthday today. Heather Matarazzo. Very popular indie actress. She is 28 years old today. And
someone else.
Sinbad. Sinbad's birthday.
No, he doesn't make the list.
Come on.
Does he make the list?
Sinbad?
Come on.
He's Sinbad.
Yeah. That's my point.
You got a point. Right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I remember yesterday we were talking to our friend Adam Sessler from G4. He's the host of that X-Play over there about all the people who were calling in sick, deciding that Call of Duty 5 was more important than going to work yesterday. I wonder if some of those people are still playing today.
Of course.
I wonder if they still have not been able to put it down because it's so new and so exciting and they've been looking forward to it for so long.
That's the way it works is when you first get it, you can't stop.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Totally addicting.
So I told Psycho Mike, I was like, hey, I got a good connection and I'm going to bring in Black Ops. And Mike said, I don't know, man. He's like, I don't know if I trust myself. You know, once I get that, I can't stop.
And he's already an addictive personality.
He is, right.
So,
Mike, have you had trouble with playing other video games in the past where you just sat down and you're one of those guys who doesn't even get up to pee if you don't have to? Pee in a bottle just so you don't have to move from
No, I haven't had that problem yet. But I'm so short on time as is. I just don't want to get into a game this awesome.
It'd be so frustrating.
I know this game's awesome.
Right.
I know it.
Right, so you don't really get into it because you don't really take up too much of your time.
Exactly.
We're going to take calls about the longest amount of time that you continuously played a video game.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean you didn't have a bathroom break, but you didn't stop playing. You didn't go to bed. You didn't go to work.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How many hours did you sit down and try to play a video game? Because I imagine Bean's right. There are people that are still up playing Call of Duty Black Ops, which came out yesterday.
Wasn't there some crazy story coming out of China where people died because they didn't stop and have water and food?
Because they were playing video games?
Yeah.
Huh.
I heard they were just drinking too much water. That's what I heard.
In case you're wondering,
by the way, until earlier this year, the Guinness Book of World Records for longest time continuously playing a video game was only 40 hours, 20 minutes, which doesn't seem that tough
right.
for some of our hardcore gamer fans that we know.
Right, no. But I would say to that, I'm sure we have 2,000 people that probably beat that record but don't contact Guinness and,
yeah.
and do it in the
yeah,
official
do
way.
It officially and
that's,
all that kind of crap.
That's a long time. I think the first 15-20 probably fly by, but
sure.
once you hit that 24th hour and the 30th hour without peeing or eating or taking a break,
you would
I don't know.
This is Alex, our producer, and her boyfriend.
Before we hear her story, I bring that up. Until earlier this year, that was the record. The current record, however, is 55 hours, and that's for Grand Theft Auto 4. But this guy did it in a controlled setting for charity. He was raising money for charity. It wasn't just him on his couch playing because he wanted to. He was playing it to raise as much money as possible. But 55 hours in front of your video game console playing a game, that crazy. Now, has your boyfriend approached that yet, Alex?
No, but when he got the first BioShock, I would go to his apartment and he'd be playing it, and then I'd leave and I'd come back and he'd still be playing it, and then, and then I'd be like, okay, we gotta go to dinner, we have to, you know, meet our friends at the bar or whatever, and he'd be like, all right, just, you know, cause
let me get to the next level.
And then he'd wake up, first thing you do, start the Xbox, get ready to go. And so finally got to the point where I was like, do you want to stretch? Maybe you want to walk to Subway, get a sandwich. And so then he would turn the volume down or try to turn it off when I left and then, like, secretly turn it back on. Except BioShock has a very distinct score that's very, like, Art Deco-y and 20s. So it's quite obvious.
So you knew what it was?
Exactly. But then he got Arkham Asylum, and then I wanted to play that all the time.
Yeah.
All
right.
So
it
totally switched around.
So that was cool. He's like, look, we got to get a bite to eat.
I know. I'm like, come on, Batman, I'm on the fourth level.
So are we looking for just this week Call of Duty players, or are we looking for any video game, anytime? What's the longest you've ever gone with?
Your record.
Yeah, because you know there's going to be some dork who played, like, Mario Kart.
Yeah,
or,
sure.
Like,
I mean, it is what it came out at midnight yesterday, so it has been, what, 24, 30, you know, 30 some hours right now if you've been playing Call of Duty since it came out.
Right.
But, yeah, I imagine people miss work, don't show up for dates, you know, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Alex would show up, she would say he would change the channel, you know, like he's watching something else. Oh, yeah, I'm watching.
It was scary.
I'm watching C-SPAN. Yeah.
Now,
what?
What do you avoid when you're playing those video games all the time? I mean, hygiene has got to be the first thing to go because showers can't be important. You're not leaving your house, right? So there's no reason for that. Do you not eat, or is there a way that you can pause long enough to run to the fridge, grab something, and come right back?
Food, I've noticed, is the first thing to go.
Food goes first, okay.
Pee breaks happen, but you pause very quickly, and you don't realize. You get, like, those frozen shoulders, and your hands get stuck, and you don't realize you have it, you know,
you
sort of relaxed.
You walk to the bathroom that way?
And, you know, I would leave, and, like, 8 hours later, I'm like, do you want a sandwich? You look, you know, like you're going to pass out.
Wow.
So I've noticed that food is the first thing that goes to the waistline.
Okay. Plus, it gets on your fingers, and you need your hands.
That's true.
Yeah, no.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Sean. He's on line 4 to get us started, and I think he's exactly the guy we're talking about because he was playing long enough that I believe he may have even lost a job over it. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show. What happened, dude?
How you doing, Kevin?
Good.
Lisa May.
Hello, Sean.
What game was it?
So I was playing World of Warcraft, and it was one of the expansions that came out, and it came out on a Tuesday. So in preparation for it, I called into work, of course. So I called out for Tuesday and Wednesday.
So you gave yourself 2 full days. That's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. I understand what I was getting myself into. I didn't want to have any sort of distractions, you know, work.
Calling, where are you?
Family.
So annoying.
Yeah, so I play all through Tuesday, start playing on Wednesday. And my boss calls me on Wednesday. He's like, hey, we really need you to come in on Thursday. I was like, you know, I'm not feeling really good. I don't think I'll be able to make it. And he's like, all right, whatever. So it turns out my boss ended up buying the game and then seeing that I was logged in.
Oh! Whoa! Wow, what a smart boss.
Are you on Xbox Live? Are you on that?
No, I wasn't on Xbox Live. This was on the computer.
Okay.
So he ended up seeing that I was logged in on Thursday when I said I was still sick. And then when I went in to work on Friday, he's like, hey, come into my office. He's like, I saw that you were logged on. I talked to a bunch of people. You're fired.
By the way, you can still play video games when you're sick.
That
doesn't mean you're
thinking.
Well enough to be in an office to possibly infect everybody else there. I think you could have wiggled your way out of that one, dude.
Yeah, I probably could have. But
no.
I'm letting
you know right now that guy wanted to get rid of Sean, and this was his excuse.
Yeah.
So how many hours did you end up playing essentially consecutively then?
Probably was about 30 hours.
30 hours. All right. That's the number to beat. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We have a very obsessive audience, we are learning, in the email and on the phones, talking about the longest you have ever played a video game. This all in honor of Call of Duty Black Ops, just released in stores yesterday. 1-800-520-1067. The guy we talked to lost his job. What did he say it was? He was like 30 hours?
30 hours.
Like that? Yeah. Okay. Who do you want to go to? You want to try Brett playing EverQuest? He's on line 6 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Brett. Thanks for calling in, dude. What's up?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May. I had a holiday weekend back in middle school, and I played EverQuest 72 hours straight, Friday morning to Monday morning.
Whoa! 72 hours straight?
Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
I was like 14. It was like right when the game came out in like 2000.
All right, so how many times in that 72 hours must you have heard from a family member that says, put it down, get away from it, back away from the screen?
Oh, no, that was the thing. My parents were gone. They're on vacation. That's home alone.
So.
Sweet.
Oh, that's the best. They should have known better.
And you didn't. And you were so into it, you didn't even have the urge to occasionally pause it for porn? I mean, you're 14 years old. Nothing takes precedence over EverQuest?
Nope, nothing at that time.
All right. That's pretty good, by the way.
Crazy, because gay guys aren't usually this much into playing video games, but okay. Well done, sir. Thank you for the call. Let's try Ruben. He's on line 7 calling us on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Ruben, welcome, man. What's going on?
I played Final Fantasy X when it first came out for like 3 days.
3 days straight?
Straight, yeah, because I wanted to beat it. I took the week off from work. I turned my phone off. I had a mini fridge in my room.
God, you were serious about this. Like, you plotted it all out.
Were you in college at the time?
No, I was just out of college.
Okay.
Man.
And what? I'm curious about the specifics here. What exceptions did you make? Like, what's the longest in 3 days that you ever paused the game?
Just to use the restroom.
That's it?
Like, once a day.
Did you finish it?
Yes, I finished it at, like, 9.
Using the restroom,
Friday
Kevin?
Night.
No, the game.
Oh, the game. Yeah. Sorry.
And would you say this is the proudest moment of your life so far?
No.
It should be. That's a pretty impressive record.
I would. Yeah, no kidding.
I'll bet you've done nothing better.
Did you eat at all during that time?
Yeah, I had sandwiches in the fridge and Monsters and Rockstars.
Man, I'll tell you,
no one's ever been more prepared than this guy.
To waste
That's
time.
Right.
Ruben's got a week off and he's got a fridge.
I like it.
Sandwich.
Kevin, I don't know how you're not looking ahead at the next weekend and thinking Call of Duty Black Ops and 4 Loko. I mean, that just sounds like the perfect combination,
that's the weekend.
Right?
Look, I got the game last night, and I on purpose, I didn't open it because I knew that I would be up all night.
It would just suck you in.
So it's sitting in my house right now. It's just calling me.
I'm sure it is.
Kevin.
Let's try Rick, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Rick. Thanks for hanging on, man. What's your story?
Hey, how's it doing today?
Good.
Hi.
How is it doing with you?
It's doing well.
It's good. I'm sitting here at work. Hey, I played Road Rash 3D when it first came out for 3 days.
Three straight days.
3 days.
3 days is what people do. I guess you start on Friday and go through Sunday.
Well, I started when it first came out. I think it was a Wednesday.
Whatever day it comes out.
Matter.
Whatever day it comes out is when this starts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it so long I got a bruise underneath my thumbnail.
All right.
I couldn't use my thumb, my hand for the longest time.
You're walking around with a broken wing.
What eventually made you stop?
My console shut off.
It said, F you, we're tired. We need to get some rest.
It cheated him crazy.
His console shut off.
He wore out the electronics.
Wow.
Yeah, because before that I had a Diablo. I don't know if you remember Diablo.
I don't.
But it's a D&D character game. It came out with Sega when Sega first came out.
Right.
And I played that forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
awesome. Right. Thank you for the call. Hey, Chip, put line 4 on hold. This may be the final one we have time for. We've got somebody explaining that they played for a week, which would, that's hard to even imagine, but David says a week. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What was your game, dude?
My name is David, huh?
Hi, David.
I spent a week playing Call of Duty World at War.
A week?
The version.
Now, wait. A week meaning 7 full days or just Monday to Friday?
I was unemployed for 6 months straight, and that's all I did. But at one point, I spent a full week playing that when I got the Dear Rice Matt Pack.
Sure.
That's all I did. I mean, at the most, I took like maybe one or two breaks for the restroom and a half hour nap.
Okay, but honestly, in a week, I mean, these guys we're talking to 2-3 days doable. You can't stay awake for a week to play a game. At some point, you had to sleep.
He said he took a how long of a nap?
Like a half hour.
Half hour.
Half, but that's not. You is that possible? You guys believe that?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, we've seen Dave watch TV for that long, but this year you're actively engaged. It seems like it would
right.
be.
Yeah, I mean, if you did that a couple of times a day, took the half hour nap. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you fall asleep in front of the console at any point, and then you heard... and you woke right back up?
Like I said, I was purposely unemployed for 6 months.
Yeah. You, by the way, sound unemployable as well.
Yeah. Actually, no. I was unemployed so long for such a point that I was actually forced to get a job again.
That's really up to me.
I'd be at home playing right now.
That's BS, the man making you get a job.
I know.
I was much happier when Bean and I were paying your unemployment so you could play video games.
All right. Well done, sir. Thanks for the call.
The Dirty Heads. World famous K-Rock at 6:53.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Funny man Jay Moore, or as his fans like to call him, Jay Moores, joining us later on today's program. And we've got an actual real-life Captain Kirk on the show, too. Chris Pine, one of the stars of Unstoppable, a movie, Ralph, I believe you are going to hook our listeners up with again this hour on the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I'm unstoppable when it comes to giving out passes to this movie.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Well done.
Thank you.
I've got passes to give to you, the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Unstoppable. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, November the 12th, but you'll get to see it before anybody else if you're one of the first callers. Well, if you're the first caller to get through at 1-800-520-1067. Stars Denzel.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I believe it.
We don't.
Denzel Washington and Chris Pine star in this film about a runaway train filled with dangerous stuff in it that threatens to destroy our economy. Kevin told me.
Environment.
Environment.
I wouldn't have said economy. That doesn't make sense.
Well, we'll have to check the tape and see what happens.
Although it could be both.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First caller through wins a pair of passes to our very special advance screening of
Unstoppable.
Taylor Swift's a whore. I mentioned that last hour.
No, I don't like you disparaging my Taylor, by the way.
She's not your Taylor, first of all.
I do love her, as you know.
The list of women that you love in a creepy, just...
Nothing creepy about it.
Fungusy kind of distant...
No fungus.
Stalkery kind of...
Look, she's 20 and she's had 2 or 3 boyfriends. That doesn't make her a
this
whore.
Week,
that's pretty typical.
2 or 3 boyfriends this week.
All right, what do you got? What's the story?
Well, she's going to be in a porn movie.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, I don't think so.
Yes, Vivid Entertainment has announced they are doing a porn movie about the Taylor Swift-Kanye West feud.
That's a weak premise, but it's porn, so you don't need a good premise, right?
Oh, is it? You wouldn't like to see Taylor Swift get...
given the microphone?
...costed on stage by Kanye West? And by costed on stage, of course, I mean...
I know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's porn. I can fill in that blank.
Well, you know, it's all about the spoofs now, all about the parodies in the porn world. Because they need a hook. Here's the thing. Porn is hurting. Because you can get so much free stuff online.
Yeah.
Why would you buy or rent a DVD? So the DVD companies are having to provide more content than just the sex to get your entertainment dollars. And so they're doing these spoofs now. And one they have planned, according to Vivid Entertainment, is the feud between Taylor Swift and Kanye West. I am assuming that feud will culminate...
Yes.
In some sort of resolution between those two characters.
They make up somehow.
There will be a rapprochement, if you will, where they somehow will find common ground.
Wait, Common's going to be in it?
No, Gilligan. no word yet on who will play Kanye West. I'm voting for Shane Diesel, personally.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Right.
Legendary Blackzilla. And Taylor Swift, of course, will play herself because she's a whore.
I don't. You better check your sources on that. That doesn't sound likely.
I don't need a source. That's the beauty of the Showbiz Beat.
Well, it does make half of it up.
No real news. And no real laughs. That's my
and
motto.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift. Right. Beyond cute. Right. She's really tall.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
She's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
No, she's not.
For a lot of reasons.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Yeah. Vivid also announced another parody based on the popular TLC show Sister Wives. I don't know if you're familiar with Sister Wives
not,
but it's about a Mormon gentleman who has wives to the tune of four.
And that dude, you would look at him and size him up and go, he will never even have a girlfriend.
Yeah. I would think he would own four Affliction t-shirts,
yes,
but not four wives.
That's correct.
He does have the soul patch and sort of the pseudo-long hair. Yeah. And, I love celery. I love to eat celery, dude. He's that guy who really loves to eat celery.
He does.
He loves him some celery.
He doesn't like it.
Loves it.
He loves it.
All four wives have to have it at the ready. If he comes into any one of his homes, there has to be crisp celery waiting for him. Because he loves celery. I'm not making this stuff up, people. This is on television.
Wow.
Speaking of being on television, Gene Shalit, perhaps the world's most useless film reviewer, has announced he is leaving NBC's Today Show after 40 years of BS movie reviews.
You see that dumbass with the mustache?
40 years.
Yes.
Yep.
Wild mane of Jufro hair.
Yeah.
Big, bushy black mustache. Most pointless film reviewer in the history of film criticism.
Yours one cares what he thinks, that's for sure.
Yours is more trustworthy, and you don't see the movies.
I don't see the films, and I don't really review them.
You just do comedy.
I just make fun of them.
Right.
I just poke fun at their titles and premises.
He's
more
stepping
reliable
down
than Gene Shalit's stuff, who he's horrible.
He is bad.
Has been forever. But here's the thing. When he started, there was no internet. There was no real other source for film criticism other than newspaper reviews. And then the TVs would have these guys come on and, you know, pontificate about film. And he was one of the most popular at the time. But
now, Kevin, are you still going to watch the Today Show even without your Gene Shalit on Fridays?
I didn't know he's on anymore.
That's the story that Ralph is doing, is that he's retiring.
But I didn't pay attention to which morning show. Those morning shows drive me out of my mind.
Yeah, Today Show's your buddy Al Roker's
on
the Today Show, is Gene Shalit.
Yeah.
I forget what sketch comedy show it was. It may have been SCTV, but they used to do a great takeoff on him all the time.
On the movie review?
On Gene Shalit and how horrible he was. My favorite was, I'm Gene Shalit. Go see Sea of Love. You'll see it and love it. See? That was the entire review.
That's how he talked,
and
right?
That's exactly how he talked, and that's exactly what his reviews were always like. Some sort of bad pun on the title, and it was just always some innocuous BS. But anyway, he's going away, so that's good news for everyone.
That's a start.
That is a start. And Madonna's got lice.
What?
Oh.
Madonna has lice.
That's not good.
No. She told the New York Post that one of her kids got head lice from school, and now she complains she can't get rid of them. Madonna says she's afraid to put her head on the pillows in any of her children's bedrooms because she's having a hard time ridding them of lice. Mm.
But her kids are fine putting their heads on their pillows.
Well, she's doing what she can to get rid of the head lice.
Got to fumigate. Got to put those tents around each person.
Around the kids.
Yeah.
Just drop the...
Is that what you do?
Yeah. Drop the bug bomb.
Takes like a month.
Yeah. Madonna said, I believe I believe my children got the lice from Taylor Swift because she's a whore.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is odd. You get pubic lice from her, but not head lice. Yeah, that seems odd.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. Take a look today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Before I do the celebrity birthdays, I've received this email. Where the heck is it? From a bunch of former Marines, and I do want to mention today is the 235th birthday of the United States Marine Corps.
All right.
Born on this date in 1775 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of all places. And this comes from Chris and a bunch of other Marines, current and past. So for all Marines past, present, and future, we would like to say a happy birthday to the Marines and Semper Fi, and thank you for all your sacrifice and hard work.
Very nice.
I told you the giant misunderstanding that occurred to me that time about the Marines and their anniversary today, coinciding with the anniversary of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Did I tell you that story, Ralph?
No, I didn't hear about
that.
No, but
I think
misunderstanding.
Yes. Yes,
I pulled
it
up to a stoplight, and the guy next to me had a guy. I was behind this guy whose license plate was 11-10-75, and my head just about exploded because it's my favorite day of the whole year because 1975, November 10th. That's the wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald, right? The shipwreck in Lake Superior. So I weasel around so I can pull up next to him, get him to roll down his window, and I'm like, dude, the Fitz! Way to go! I can't believe you've got that license plate. That's so awesome. He said,
What are you talking about? It's the birthday of the Marine Corps, November 10th, 1775. I just slugged down into my seat and just watched him drive away as I gently wept.
Unbelievable douchebag.
Wow.
But just...
He should have shot
you.
He should have shot you with a street sweeper.
That guy served his country. Probably yeah, overseas. Really. And here comes this gawky, greasy
Fitz!
He should have lobbed a grenade right through your window.
It was awfully embarrassing.
No jury would have convicted him.
Nope. I also thank him and everyone for their service.
Come on. That guy shirked his duty because he had a chance to take you out and just did not close the deal.
What our lives would be like. Come on, Marines. Come on, Marines. Get out there and do your jobs.
Like Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life.
You know.
So what it could have been like. Today's celebrity birthday, Sinbad. I got to scratch that off.
Thank
I
you.
Just accidentally keep saying that.
Isn't he the world's greatest comedian or something? Isn't that how they advertise it in Las Vegas?
Yeah. Tracy Morgan is 42 years old today. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 41. Warren G.
Yeah.
Celebrates his 40th. Jim Atkins of Jimmy Eat World is 35 years old today. And that's it. Oh, Russell Johnson from Gilligan's Island, the professor.
Yeah.
He's 86 years old today.
Make it easy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Chris Pine from the new movie he co-stars in with Denzel Washington called Unstoppable later on today. Also, comedian Jay Moore will be here later this hour, by the way. Black Keys, their new one called Tighten Up. And one of the songs we get the most requests for of anything we play here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Boys in the Hood by Dynamite Hack. If you love that song as we do, that's coming up in just 3 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, why is producer Dave in the studio? What's going on here?
Well, you weren't here last week, Bean, so you didn't get to see the magic that was producer Dave in Vegas. Alex had a couple of days off, so Dave was in charge of the Kevin and Bean Show. And producer Dave doesn't exactly get it done, if you know what I'm saying. Like,
well, Dave is a great assistant producer, but he does not take advantage of the vacuum at the top, the power vacuum, to go, I'm going to show that I'm the best person that has ever done this job, and I'm going to obliterate their memory of producer Alex because I'm going to be so on it this week.
Well, I am the best. That's the thing.
That's number one.
And, yeah, I mean...
Number two, I will say, this is the only time I'm going to defend him in this entire thing, but he did say he wanted to be in bed by midnight. Not wanted to, but was going to be in bed by midnight.
Yeah, he was absolutely determined.
So, of course, that was my only goal, was to keep him up. Right?
But well, aren't you kind of sabotaging your own show then?
But once he says, I'm going to bed at midnight, I mean, isn't that your natural reaction? Oh, no, you're not.
No.
What?
That's not.
Your natural reaction.
What are you talking about?
That's not the natural reaction.
Of course it is.
When we have a show to do the next day, first of all, your natural reaction would be, wow, he's right. I should be in bed by midnight, too, because my partner's on vacation and I need to carry a lion's share of the show work.
Well, we didn't go to sleep.
No, I know you didn't. I remember me. I was there. I was the other guy on the show.
We were at the Luxor and our party ended. So then we went to LAX and then that closed. So we ended up on some party bus to a strip club. I don't know. But anyway.
Ralph, what time did you go to bed on the Thursday night after the party?
I was in bed by 1.
Okay, now that already hurts.
Which was already
being in bed by 1.
Yes,
yeah.
Already late.
But you, as much as you would have liked to have stayed out, you knew that you had to be up and on the air and fresh at 5, right?
I needed at least a couple hours because I was going to be up at 4 pulling stories for show business.
But here's what I know. I sound drunk anyway. What's the point of going to bed? I might as well drink.
Okay, you might as well drink.
Yeah.
What about
Here's
Dave?
What I know.
All right.
When my boss is telling me, yo, you got to come with me.
I'm your boss all of a sudden.
I'm like, all right, let's do this. I'll take care of you. I'll lead the way.
He feared for his job.
Yeah. Right. So here's I'll do what I'm told.
Here's what happened. And this rarely happens, but we were doing the show on Friday from the Luxor, from a place right kind of in the front of the whole hotel casino.
Yeah. Big bar by reception and the registration area.
Basically, it was just a big table, but anybody could walk up that wanted to. But most of the people were sitting there. They were half asleep because they didn't get much sleep the night before either. And so we were doing the show, and this woman charged the stage.
Mm-hmm.
She bum-rushed us. Most people are not this forceful. She came right up 2 feet in front of my face, and she said, you have to put me on right now. And we said...
We were in commercials at the time.
But we said, why? And she said, I'm Wu-Tang. We were like, we don't know what that means. You don't look like Wu-Tang. She said, Google me right now. And she gave us her name, and Ralph Googled her. And sure enough, she owns like half of Wu-Tang.
Yeah, she's one of the managers of Wu-Tang.
Yeah, huh. Wu-Tang Enterprises.
So we're trying to figure out. Now, here's what we're trying to figure out. Is she crazy enough that we should put her on
Right.
Because we love crazy.
But what does she want to, why does she want to come on just to say, hey, how about that Wu-Tang, that Method Man's a good guy?
Right, well, that's... So we did some question and answer. And Dave, by the way, who's sitting next to me, says nothing.
Our producer.
Right.
By the way. Responsible for the content of the show.
I leaned over and said...
You did lean over and say one thing to me.
Yeah.
To which, her, nothing, but to me.
Yeah. But I said a joke, Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to F with.
Right.
Because that's a joke, and that's part of their songs.
Right.
And,
fine.
It's funny.
That's all he said.
And
okay.
But I think what Kevin is suggesting is... As the producer, though, as the on-site producer, your job kind of is to protect the show.
I guarantee Alex would have been out of her seat.
What I'm saying is, as a drunk guy, looking at this lady yell at Kevin...
Was great.
It was funny.
Yeah, it really was. So then she said, I represent a singer... In Menopause the Musical.
Right. Which is a musical that is in one of the local hotel casinos there in Vegas.
It's in the Luxor.
Oh, is it? Really?
Or next door, maybe. I don't know
which one it is in.
But. Anyway, it's there, and it's not really for our audience.
Menopause? I don't know. Are
she's,
you kidding?
Menopause
she's,
the Musical.
She's
right.
got a pretty varied resume, by the way.
Right.
She's managing the Wu-Tang Clan.
You have no idea.
So, wow. So now at this point, I'm kind of getting annoyed, but she still scares me a little bit.
Right.
Because she's very aggressive.
Like, so, I know Los Angeles. I know K-Rock. You got to put me on. You got to meet this girl. She's an amazing talent. You got to have her on. Your audience is going to love her, and she's going to be the greatest interview you've ever had. You got to put her on right now.
So I said, we're not going to talk about Menopause the Musical. That's not going to happen. So she said, she's also in a rock band. Now
she's whatever you want her to be.
Now, what should have happened now, Bean, in your estimation?
Well, Dave should have said, hey, listen, thank you for stopping by. The guys are very busy
show here. None of that happened. None of it happened. He was just sitting there. He started actually curling up in a ball, I think.
I told you, he rolled over and put his paws up in the air, and he just turned his head to the side, and he played possum, hoping that whatever was trying to kill him would eventually just leave him alone.
Dave, was there any part of you in your mind thinking, I am the acting producer of the program today, and at some point I need to help my boys out?
What I was thinking was, let's see how far this goes.
Which, by the way, is a good instinct, but...
I don't buy it for a minute.
You don't think so?
No.
You think he was scared?
Absolutely.
Oh. She was very aggressive.
I was scared, too.
At one point, I said, you are a very aggressive woman who scares me. Like, I was trying to... And she laughed, and I was like, woo! Thank God that went over good. So then she said... So I said, no, we're not going to have him on. You know, you have to go through channels, blah, blah, blah. So she said these words, I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying.
After you said, no,
yes.
We're not going to have him on.
And I said to her, we all do, lady. We all feel that way. Trust me.
So then I said, I'm saying no.
Okay.
Thinking to myself, all right, now here's where Dave will get up.
And
maybe escort her away.
Oh, ma'am, excuse me. These boys are trying to do their show.
Right.
Let me show. Let me take you over here and get you information. Maybe another time. You know, try to be, you know.
Give her a card or something to call later.
Yeah.
Right.
And she started talking about Steven Adler and how he was her client as well. And would we interview him? And I thought I was safe. So I said, you can't get him up before, you know, 10 a.m. And she's like, he's up right now. And I was like, ooh. So now I've kind of got her softened up. I think she was laughing a little bit.
Yeah.
But throughout the entire thing, producer Dave was just, he was possum mode.
I was in awe.
He was
he's
in possum
looking
mode.
Over, looking around, just turning his head away.
He was frozen. Nothing. He was like, if I don't move, maybe she'll think I'm dead.
Now, guys, if Alex had been able to be there.
I wouldn't have had to say a word.
No. Yes, that's right. She would have handled it from the beginning.
She would have intercepted this woman as she approached the table.
Because she was walking up there with purpose.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we were not in charge at that moment.
She was a missile, yeah.
She was a missile, right. So Alex would have stood up and said, yes, can I help you? But Dave didn't. He was just sitting over there just frozen. Just like, oh, if I don't move, maybe she won't know I'm here.
It's funny to me, my friend.
Oh, just leave me alone, because I got out of the strep club at 4.
Which so did I, by the way. So how long did it eventually take her to get the message and leave?
20 minutes?
20 minutes.
Oh, really?
God.
Yeah.
And how much time did Dave...
So you had to do, like, breaks?
We did a break.
We did a break,
and she was there. She sat down in a chair right in front of us.
Sat staring at us with a steely glaze.
That's right. The worst.
And you know what Dave was doing then while we were doing that? Possum.
Yeah.
Dave.
Just frozen.
Or Farmville. Those are the only two choices you get with Dave.
No. Bean, if he moved, she might know he was alive. He was playing possum. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
This is like, you know what this is like? This is like you go to a party and you've got a signal with your date to, hey, come right. rescue me if I start scratching my ear or something like that. And he's, Dave's sitting there watching you go down in flames while she's pitching Menopause the Musical. He does nothing
by the
to
way,
step in and
I
help.
Wasn't going down in flames. I was handling her pretty forcefully. I was like, no, we're not going to do that. But yeah. I just kept expecting Dave to, you know, move, blink. Anything.
Do something.
A little backup would have been nice.
Yeah, so, but here's my point about Dave. If he really did that because it was funny for that woman to be yelling at me, kudos.
Nope. You support it.
Because that's way funny.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
No, let me just say, this was all off air. Right. So, you know, obviously, if it was on air, that would have never happened.
No. You would have tackled it. Oh, yeah.
But this was all off air.
Flown into activity.
The only reason I don't believe Dave did it on purpose is because Dave was a failure in so many ways.
He crossed the board. He was the worst producer ever in Vegas.
Didn't you guys tell me, I don't know, 10 minutes into the show that he was just sitting there with his head laying on a table?
His head was on his laptop.
I'm not asleep.
Yeah,
and he spent
2 hours trying to get on Twitter.
For 2 hours, he tried to sign into different Twitter accounts, and he couldn't.
Oh, I can't get on Twitter. So, like, Dave, who cares? We're doing a show. No, I got to go on Twitter.
If he didn't say anything to be funny, I give him props, but I don't buy it. I think he was scared. I think he was playing possum so that he didn't get killed.
And he was completely ineffectual as a producer.
That's correct.
All day long. We couldn't get someone on the phone. Remember, they guess we couldn't get on the phone? Yeah. Robert Kingsman.
Yeah.
Remember Robert Kingsman,
yes.
Your buddy, Kevin?
And they called. Yes, I do. And they called.
Robert Kirkman.
I called him the wrong name.
Creator of The Walking Dead.
So they called, and his number was blocked, and Dave goes, just call the number.
Yeah. So Omar's like, Dave, we haven't... Just call it! What do you want me to do from here? I can't do nothing. Just call it! They tried calling it. It can't get through. Just call it! He's screaming, just call it. There was no help whatsoever.
He's ineffective at best.
Hey, I got no information, man. I got to figure it out on my own. What am I supposed to do?
There's a new movie?
Well, you remember Producer Dave, the horror movie that came out the first week he was the producer.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
They made a horror movie about what a horrible producer he was. Well, apparently there's a sequel in the works based on what happened in Las Vegas.
Nice. Great.
Just when you thought you were safe, Producer Dave is back to cause more mayhem in Producer Dave 2, Dave in Vegas.
Omar, just call it. Just dial it.
Producer Dave. His drunken rampage will leave a trail of murdered comedy in Dave 2, Dave in Vegas. Producer Dave.
Oh!
Producer Dave.
To tell it, Loma! The lesbians! They were with their
drunken, tired, out of control. Producer Dave offers no help to anyone. Producer Dave.
Wu-Tang! Nothing to f*** with!
Guests, co-workers, equipment, nothing is safe from Producer Dave.
Ralph Garman! F*** your computer! Your computer!
He will stay out till 4 a.m., but your career will never see the light of day with Producer Dave 2, Dave in Vegas.
I just got here from the clubs! It's not my fault!
This film has not yet been rated.
It's a good movie. That's not even going to get an NC-17, I don't think.
Scariest movie ever.
The Black Keys on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 29 minutes after 7 o'clock.
First of all, why the keys got to be black? Second of all, hey, it's time for another Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
All right, we got a bunch of clips for you to watch. You go to kevinandbean.com. These are some of our favorites that are out there right now. It's hard to keep track of all of them. Jimmy Kimmel is starting a new campaign, Facebook National Unfriend Day.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because he says, you know, most of the people that you're friends with on Facebook aren't your friends.
That's so true.
He's focusing on a day, and he's saying, on this day, you need to go through and just weed out the people who really aren't your friends.
It is interesting. We all have our pet peeves, and for some reason, it really bugs Jimmy that the word friend, which used to mean one thing, now means something else on the internet, which is, you know, people that you have this connection with through Facebook.
Yeah,
he's trying to stop it.
You might not even know him at all. So he's like, this is the day. It's a week from today, Wednesday the 17th of November.
Okay.
And so he makes that announcement, and he has William Shatner come out and back him.
Hello, I'm William Shatner. These people on Facebook, they're not your friends. That's all.
That's all. He says that's all.
Why is Bill the best?
He's the best. And then Danny McBride also.
Hello, I'm Danny McBride, and I'd like to tell you where you can put your friendship. You can put it deep inside of your own backside. Very deep. Like Chilean minor deep. Happy Unfriend Day.
See, Unfriend Day.
There's a little bit of Kenny Powers in Danny McBride for real, by the way.
I love that so much because it really is. It does seem like it's a popularity contest with how many friends you can have.
It is for a lot of people.
I don't
yeah.
want a lot of those people as friends, so I don't.
No.
I'm not in that race.
It is for some people, and we don't have time to really get into it here, but I mean, it's okay to have a category of people that you know casually enough to be in contact with online, but that doesn't mean you have their phone number or see them in person.
Says Bean, who doesn't interact with people on a regular basis ever. Right. Anyway, so Jimmy Kimmel, next Wednesday. Everybody pay attention to this. It's National Unfriend Day.
Oh, I bet I'm going to get unfriended. Damn it.
By a lot, yeah. LeBron James does a commercial, and it's sort of a response to all of the hatred from the decision. Mm-hmm. And he asks a lot of questions.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before? Should I make you laugh?
Or should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Now, that commercial makes me hate him more than before.
Yeah,
that's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not really saying I'm sorry or I screwed
at
up
all.
Or anything.
No.
It's like, I'll get over that.
So the people from Cleveland intercut themselves responding to his questions.
I really believe I ruined my legacy.
Legacy?
Traitors don't leave legacies.
Should I have my tattoo removed?
Yeah.
What should I do?
You should throw it in our faces on national television. Thanks.
What should we do, LeBron?
What should we do?
Should I be who you want me to be?
We wanted you to be who you said you'd be.
I got a goal, and that's a huge goal, and that's to bring an NBA championship here to Cleveland, and I won't stop till I get it.
All right, so that's
ouch.
That's funny.
There's a lot of angry Ohioans in that video, by the way. You really need to check it out.
I don't watch the Wheel of Fortune. There was a phrase that a woman got with one letter. One letter, and it was a full phrase of 7 words.
How did she do that?
7 words?
Seven words.
Words.
Yes, unbelievable.
And all she had to go on was the letter L.
One L.
And there's one. Did you only solve?
What's that?
Can I solve?
He's like, what?
Okay.
It is a prize puzzle.
Yeah.
I've got a good feeling about this.
That's right.
What the hell? And by the way, there wasn't more than one L. There was only one L.
There was
one
L.
So, Rain Man.
It was a free trip to the Caribbean she got, and she said, yeah, I could have tried to get more money by continuing to spin the wheel, but then I also could have landed on bankrupt and not had a chance, so I figured since I knew it, I was going to go ahead and give it.
How did she know it?
Isn't it crazy? Well, I've done the follow-up research on this, and I see how she figured it out, but most contestants certainly wouldn't have. It's very impressive.
I told the story, last week, I think, about my voice recognition in my car and how it doesn't understand a word I'm saying. Not a single word. Not any word.
It's
not
so
one.
Not voice recognition.
Right. It doesn't recognize my voice ever. Not once. So this is a video of two guys on an elevator that has become voice activated.
They don't do Scottish accents.
11.
Could you please repeat that?
11.
Could you please repeat that?
You need to try an American accent.
11.
This one's Irish, not American.
Not Disney.
11.
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat that?
I'm just saying maybe we're not at the point where we want to do everything voice recognition yet.
Good point.
I agree. The robots are not quite sophisticated enough to make up for humans yet.
This week in Unnecessary Censorship, we don't have time to play, but it's up there at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Go to kevinandbean.com. We do have Liam Lynch. Drinking Out of Cups is the name of this, and it's really bizarre, and it depends on who you hear the story from. But this is a friend of Liam Lynch who's either on LSD or he's on cold meds, whatever. But he's watching TV and he's just randomly commenting on everything that comes up. So Liam Lynch does the right thing and records him.
Okay.
And then he animates it. He makes a lizard that's saying it. And this video is great because all the things this guy just stream of consciousness. You'll hear how bizarre this is, but to watch the video is just magic.
What does this guy think? He's an Indian? What is he, a goddamn asshole? What the f*** is he doing? What is this garbage? Oh, I'm king of the trees. I'm the tree meister. I count on them. Yeah, right. This guy's a f***.
Now, again, you don't know what he's watching and commenting on, but...
He's some sort of f***.
What?
Or what he was on. I mean, is he on some sort of drugs or something like that as he's saying all that? Because I felt like I was on those same drugs watching the video with the animation.
Oh, it's so good,
creepy,
right?
Creepy and crazy.
Who knows? Cold meds is the leading theory.
Okay.
Acid, shrooms, who knows?
Got some sort of Indian in the teepee. This guy thinks he's Captain Knots. Thinks he's Captain Tying Knots. When everyone needs some knots tied, they go to him. Bullshit. Stupid dresses. Stupid flowers. Lighthouses rule. You don't like the lighthouse? You suck.
It will be the strangest thing you see today.
Yes, it will.
It's great. It's at KevinandBean.com, the internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:43.
Oh, I've been waiting for this all day long. Ladies and gentlemen, Omar is here. It's time for this week's Glee Cap.
Glee Cap, Glee Cap, Glee Cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad, I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee Cap, Glee Cap, Glee Cap. Glee Crap, Glee Crap, Glee Crap.
He changed it to crap.
That's right.
See what he did there?
And that's what it is.
Hey, Omar.
What's up, man?
Fire!
Oh my God, was last night's episode terrible.
Great episode last night.
The music sucked. The writing sucked. Hey, you know what, Ralph? It's hard to be gay in high school.
I hear that, yeah.
You know what? I get it,
you're
dude.
Right. You're right.
There's three episodes this season that are dedicated to bullying and being... It's hard to be gay in high school. I've had enough. I get it.
Who knows that more than Omar? You know?
That is true, by the way. And you know what? What you do is you nut up and you just take it. Okay?
That's really?
That's what you do in high school, okay?
That's what all the specialists say, too.
Yeah, just get bullied.
Not listen, up and take it.
Just do
but
it.
But Omar, wasn't last night a very special Glee?
It's always a very special Glee. It's a bad after-school special. Right. Every single episode.
I like it. But I didn't see it because I was watching Lakers. So,
Kevin, how many episodes have you missed of Glee? The last four?
No. I've seen all except four last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Nice try.
Sorry, Omar.
And how many of those have you enjoyed fully?
Fully, not all of them.
Any?
Oh, the Britney one I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved it.
Just one this season, then.
No, I like
yes,
it.
Yes, just
I
one.
Like it.
Oh. No, just one.
I'm being bullied right now.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to nut up and just take it.
Okay. Hey, Bean.
Yes, sir.
How many episodes have you enjoyed this
season? We don't have time for your survey.
Hey, shut up.
Let's get to the clips. We don't have time for the survey.
Let's do a recap of last night's episode, and okay. I think that will prove your point to people more than anything we can say.
Kevin.
Yes.
It's hard to be gay in high school.
Right.
Are you okay? Yeah. Fine.
There's the gay kid getting punked.
Yeah, he got pushed into the blockers. That
wasn't
cool.
And again, it's hard to be gay in high school. What is your problem?
You talking back to me? You want a piece of the Fury?
The Fury?
That's what I named my fist.
Look, with that level of creativity, you could easily become assistant manager at a rendering plant.
Mm-hmm.
At a what? Rendering plant.
Right.
What? Rendering plant?
Uh-huh. So that gay kid is wearing a gold bow tie, and he has the attitude,
yeah,
sassy attitude.
He looked like
and
Dave at a singles party.
He's not getting... Yeah. He's not getting... I would beat Dave up, too, by the way. Yeah, if I saw him. He's not getting beat up because he's gay.
He's an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an idiot asshole.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He's just a flamboyant gay guy who's not getting picked on.
Who's an asshole.
Oh, how dare you.
Here's white man Afro teacher guy trying to talk to the gay kid about what's going on.
You, like everyone else at this school, are too quick to let homophobia slide. And your lesson plans are boring and repetitive. Boys versus girls... That doesn't challenge any of us.
Asshole.
Well, that's kind of an asshole.
Yes.
He's creative, man.
No, he's not. Creative. He's just a big, giant douchebag.
Wow.
A-hole.
Wow.
He's not giant, first of all.
He's a little guy.
Little guy.
Okay, so the big thing is that they're going to battle these guys as sectionals, and they find out that they're going to be battling these guys at a prep school. So gay kid goes to the prep school.
It's an all-boys school.
Right, yeah. Right. All-boys school. And this is what happens.
So, wait, the Glee Club here is kind of cool?
The Warblers are like... rock stars. Come on. I know a shortcut.
There are no rock stars in Glee. I'm sorry.
At
but
that
really,
other school, they're all rock
that
stars.
That school, the choir's like rock stars.
No.
The Warblers.
What do you mean no?
How
do
you say no? This is a fictional high school.
Have you ever gone to an all-boys prep school?
No.
Then shut up. You don't know,
have
man.
You?
Yes.
You did?
No.
Okay. Okay. But at least they do an awful version of Teenage Dream.
Make me feel like I'm living a teenage
I hate that kind of music, but Katy Perry version is pretty catchy, pretty cool.
And she's Katy Perry.
Right, exactly. Gay kids singing along to that, it's awful. That's on my TV last night. Really?
That didn't sound bad.
Are you kidding?
They sounded good, actually.
Really? Yeah. I could sing like that.
No, you can't.
No, we've heard you a lot.
Up yours, and you really suck. Come on.
All right, take it easy.
You take it easy.
If I was a young gay man watching that show last night and seeing those handsome boys sing that song, it would have been a teenage dream for me.
So, gay kid befriends a preppy gay kid, and... Sure. He knows that Kirk is going through some tough times.
Kurt,
whatever. This is his advice.
You can refuse to be the victim. Prejudice is just ignorance. And you have a chance right now to teach him.
How?
Confront him. Call him out. I ran. I didn't stand up.
Man, he wants him to move to Iran?
No, he ran away. He was being bullied at his school, so that's why he changed schools. And he's saying, don't let that happen to you. Stand up for yourself.
Yeah, I didn't do it, but you go stand up for yourself.
Hey, little 90-pound
yes,
kid.
Yes, Omar, what?
Are you kidding?
That's good advice. Stand up for yourself.
This is not entertainment.
Don't be bullied.
Why don't you?
This is bad. This is bad after school nonsense, okay?
Ralph's been in after school nonsense, and this is not after school nonsense.
I think it was going to be a bloodbath. Okay, so, gay kid just stands up to the bully.
Don't push me!
Hit me because it's not going to change who I am. You can't punch the gay out of me any more than I can punch the ignoramus out of you.
Get out of my face!
You are nothing but a scared little boy who can't handle how extraordinarily ordinary you are.
And the bully kisses him. He's a closet gay dude.
The big football guy kisses
him. That's always the way it is, though.
Oh, I know, Lisa. I know.
He's angry at himself.
Themselves.
He's not angry at Kurt.
Exactly.
Yeah. See?
He's frustrated because he can't deal with his homosexuality.
That's original.
So he's taking it out on Kurt.
Okay, so the other storyline on last night's Glee is that all the kids in Glee are using...
Meth?
The Beast.
Coach Beast, yeah.
Which Coach Lady Hasselhoff is what I'm going to call her.
Yeah, that's a good one.
As, like, you know, when they're making out, so they don't want to, you know, get all crazy and...
It's like thinking of baseball
control.
When you're getting too close.
Exactly. You know, they call it the cool down, so they think of Beast. So, white man Afro teacher guy is talking to the kids about, you know, Coach Lady Hasselhoff.
Coach Beast is like us, like Glee Club. She's an outsider at this school. No one appreciates her or her talent because they've decided that she's too different. And for you guys to abuse that, even in private, is the opposite of everything we're trying to achieve in here.
You're in Glee! Aren't you supposed to just teach singing and winning BS contest? What are you trying to teach, white man Afro teacher guy?
He's trying to teach life lessons,
Omar. Listen, dude.
This is more than just a TV show.
Are you kidding me?
That's right.
Really?
Yes.
Stop preaching at me, man.
He's trying to make
a
difference.
Go sing a song. No more. Last night,
I kept saying they do too much music.
Yeah.
They do
music. They should do all music because they're writers below.
Omar.
And then, okay, so then a white man Afro teacher guy is talking to Beast about how she feels.
I'm not gay, you know. I know I can be a little intimidating sometimes, but... deep down inside where no one can see, just a girl.
Ah!
Am I nuts that I just want to be reminded of that sometimes?
Oh my God, really?
Wait, that's the coach?
Yes!
That's the girl, man.
Acting her ass off, by the way.
Yeah, she
I'm just a girl. And I just want somebody to remind me of that. Oh my God! Here's white man Afro teacher guy response.
What that says to me is that you are a beautiful, amazing woman. Whose heart is just too big for most men to stand.
Oh, shut up.
Okay.
All right.
Really think
come
I'm
on.
Pretty well. Inside and out. And now you've been kissed.
And that's when I threw up in my mouth.
Wow.
Come on with that.
Wow.
Ralph, defend that level of writing and acting, right. Though, seriously.
That last clip. An exception.
What?
Pretty decent show. Last clip.
Are you kidding? Decent show?
Yeah, it didn't sound bad.
In these cynical times, they err on the side of being a little sentimental, a little schmaltzy, but I say, you know what? If that's their biggest crime, that's okay.
Is that their biggest crime, Omar?
No, their biggest crime is that they should all kill themselves.
Okay.
Seriously.
That's not a crime.
That's their biggest crime.
It would be.
That's their biggest crime.
That sounds like a
they
sentence.
They should all kill themselves.
More than a crime.
It was the worst show ever, okay. And at the end of the episode, a gay kid gets punked again by one of the bullies. And he doesn't stand up for himself. So last night's episode was that gay on gay bullying is okay.
That's
I guess.
Not the point
no,
of the episode.
The all,
that's
I
what
think.
I got away
Go
from it.
Go watch it again.
No, hell no.
Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. World famous K-Rock at 7:57.
Oops, sorry. Funny man Jay Moore joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I pulled a Kevin there and had my own microphone off. Sorry about that, you guys.
Oh, sounded good.
Ralph is here right now with the Showbiz Beat, and yet more tickets to see Denzel and a guest later on today's show, Chris Pine in Unstoppable. What's the deal here, Ralph?
Ever tell you about Chris Pine's dad, Robert Pine?
You did, yes, as a matter of fact.
I mentioned about his illustrious career.
At length. From Chips, right.
You know, you may know You may know him also as Jim's dad on The Office, if you saw the wedding episodes where him and Pam got married.
Oh, I don't remember.
He's Jim's dad, too. Episode. Very talented actor. Chris Pine and Denzel Washington are in Unstoppable. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, November the 12th. But if you'd like to see it beforehand, we've got a very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening you can attend. If you're the first caller to get through at 1-800-520-1067, you will win a pair of passes to see Unstoppable. I'm telling you, they should hire me for those trailers.
You should. I could have got the voice.
Chris Pine, Denzel Washington.
Now that would be entertaining.
Oh, you got to love Adam Sandler. He's good to his friends. Look, let's face it. Rob Schneider only has a career because his buddy Adam Sandler keeps him working.
That's true.
Yes.
Chris Rock said in an interview this week that he gave everyone in Grown Ups a Maserati. Gave one to Chris Rock, David Spade, Rob Schneider, and Kevin James. Sandler gave them all a Maserati as a thank you for doing the film.
Wow.
Listen, I saw the film. You should be giving stuff to the audience, Adam Sandler, not to the guys. They got paid for working in that movie. It's the audience that you raped that you should be giving cars to. Even if I got a Maserati for seeing Grown Ups, I don't think I would sit through it again. If I knew that was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah.
I might say, you know what? I'm good with the Mustang. Thanks so much. Man, is that bad. Hey, Courtney Love. She's crazy, right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Way.
You know, she was at an auction to benefit Haitian schools last Friday night. I know. No. She shows up at the kind of most random places. She got into a bidding war against Gerard Butler.
Okay.
For an item that was going up for auction. Paid $17,000 for it. She won. It was lunch with Adrian Brody.
Really?
Why did Gerard Butler and Courtney Love want to go to lunch with Adrian Brody so badly? And why are they willing to pay $17,000 for it?
That's weird.
I have no idea.
That's weird.
That is strange.
Adrian Brody is the kind of actor who's probably still listed by his real name in the phone book. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like it's that tough to get to him.
He doesn't look like he eats all that much either, by the way, that Adrian Brody.
Doesn't seem like much of a party.
Scrawny. No. But I thought that was funny. She paid $17,000. Have lunch with Adrian Brody. Doesn't she have all kinds of outstanding credit and tax problems and everything?
That's what I was wondering.
Maybe she should be saving her money.
By the way, she's not going to show either.
That's true. She will not show up.
Oh, was I supposed to do that today?
She'll just tweet a nude picture of herself to him. Today's celebrity birthday is Russell Johnson of Gilligan's Island. He was the professor. He was the one who made all those gadgets out of coconuts and things.
He sure did.
He sure did.
Sure couldn't make a raft. Nope. All the coconuts in the world couldn't make a raft. Couldn't get him off that effing island.
Not much of a
useless,
professor.
Useless professor.
How many castaways are left, Ralph? Is there just three still alive?
Him and Don Wells, I think, are the end of it. Tina Louise, I think,
yeah,
is still alive.
Ginger is still
oh, there. My God. Who the hell cares?
Mike, come on. Gilligan's Island. It's American as apple pie. It's iconic. It's forever.
Mikey Thank Likey, you, Gilligan's Island.
No!
You two need to shut up.
No!
Did he say Mikey Likey, Gilligan's Island?
You don't have time to deal with that now either.
Tracy Morgan's 42 years old today. I wonder if Tracy Morgan will be stopping by when Jay Moore's in the
I suspect
studio.
He will.
I wonder if he'll come in with him.
Certainly hope so.
Have something to say. He's 42 years old today.
Tracy's funny. I don't find Jay very funny, but Tracy's very funny.
Ellen Pompeo is 41. You should hear Moore's Ellen Pompeo impression. Oh, spot on. Warren G is 40, and Jim Atkins of Jimmy Eat World is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce a very funny comedian, Mr. Jay Moore, everyone.
I didn't like how everyone told their girlfriend Precious what a fantastic career she has in front of her. I thought that was kind of mean.
What the f*** is she going to play? The couch? What is she going to be?
Pour salt on her face and she'll be deep space in the next Star Trek movie? McDonald's hiring? Is she going to be Grimace? Is that what we're doing now?
Wrist fat. Never saw that before.
La raza, cacuyo mañana.
There's a big difference between Puerto Ricans and Mexicans. Puerto Ricans wear their swimsuits when they go in the ocean. I'll do Christopher Walken later.
With a black president, we should be able to just say black jokes at work. He's president. We should be able to say Air Force One is lowered.
What's up, Jay Moores? You want to go get nice? Yeah!
Black people always put an S at the end of my name. I don't know why.
Hey, J. Morris. Welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Actually, today you have Adam Sandler here. Everybody gets a Maserati. Shut up, Schneider. Psycho Mike. He's a good guy, you know. He scares him.
What?
Flannum Blizzard Blues? No, I like Bean, you know. He's a good guy, you know. Shut up.
Huh? Sorry.
Is the story true that you're giving all your friends Maseratis? Is that true?
I can't afford a Dodge Dart, and gentlemen. Hey, yo.
That's just him.
By the way, the last time Jay Moore was on, I was on vacation. I missed it. I have heard, and it is already
legendary. You went to his living room.
Yeah. It is already legendary among Kevin DeBean fans. The filthiest show that has ever aired. Apparently, Kevin, you were working the delay button the last time Jay was on. Am I right?
I have to defend myself.
I think I had to get out of delay six times.
I have to defend myself about that show because what I wanted to say...
Relax.
Okay. Was a clinical explanation of a substance being put into a container.
Right, we got it.
Okay.
We know the story.
But then I'm waiting to come on and I hear you guys drop...
Well, no.
How do you and then I get tweets going, why is it on the... What is it when you replay it on the internet?
Podcast.
People are like, why isn't it on the podcast? Why is it bleeped in the podcast? Slim Man, what's going on?
Lawyers? I kid you not, lawyers.
Why did you say Jews? You're so anti-Semitic. It's amazing. That's why you don't like Lisa.
The lawyers that are
I'm
in charge.
Jewish.
Okay, honey.
You're not Jewish.
Sure.
Anyway. Lawyers won't let us do that, and we don't know what they'll let and what they won't let go.
But
so,
that word, I'm not going to say it again. Side. But Bean, that was the word that was so, every time I, all right.
But, and every time you said it quite a few times, which also makes it more.
Worse.
Worse to asshole?
It makes it worse to them.
Because when you say asshole, you could.
I picture a little whale eye. Someone wiping it.
No.
Really? I tried to make it exactly how you did
all
right, look at me.
Said you weren't gonna.
Look at my
eyes. Why am I looking at your eyes?
Look at my eyes.
You said 30 seconds ago, I'm not gonna say it again.
Because I was trying to say it under the guidelines that have been put forth by you through your corporate slimy lawyers. It won't happen again.
Slimy lawyers make it so that we don't know and we have to guess.
All right, but just so you know, you won't have any problems for me no more. Is it Clemenza and the Godfather? Don't worry about Clemenza. Who is it? That.
Jay, we have so many things we need to discuss with you. First and foremost, let me get the plug out because Jay has lots of events coming up in Southern California because, as he mentioned, he's very poor. He barely can keep his Dodge Dart running. You are going to be tomorrow night on stage in Irvine at the Improv. And then Saturday, you're going to be at the Hollywood Improv with two big shows.
First time ever me doing my own show at the Hollywood Improv Saturday.
No kidding.
Wow.
That'll be super exciting.
You finally made it.
7:30 and 9:30.
I've made it. They put your name up in stencil. Right above, somebody else's name.
I
got
to tell you,
like.
Jay is one of the funniest comedians that you'll ever see. You have to go
absolutely.
See him. I
absolutely.
Highly recommend it.
I agree.
Now, since the last... Forgive me if you addressed this the last time you were on, but again, I missed your appearance, and I'm very sad about that. I have not had the opportunity to talk to you about being in Hereafter, and I apologize that I haven't seen the movie yet, but being called to work for Clint Eastwood, I have to imagine it has got to be one of the great moments of your showbiz career.
It's pretty, it's a lot of great moments because he does his auditions by invitation only, so the fact that you got invited to audition means he's poured over tapes, and the casting lady or someone looks over a lot of tapes and sees a lot of bodies at work.
So you can't just say, I want to be in your
movie. Yeah, you can't just... not like you sit in a lobby and people are coming in and out of a room auditioning for the same part. Like, I guess six people audition for a part.
Do you know what he liked about your... whatever he saw?
No, the first time you meet him is on set when he goes, all right, whenever you guys are ready. He's like,
is that daunting? I mean, is that...
No, I'll tell you why. It would be daunting if you didn't have such an inherent fear of letting him down. He's so... professionally so calm and it's so quiet and it's like what we're doing is make believe. This is foolish what we're doing,
right?
So you guys come out of the elevator and do your talking here, and then Kevin, if you could just turn the corner and talk to Ralph in the hallway, and I think we'll have a motion picture, okay?
So, he doesn't sound like much of a director.
You guys go back to the elevator, and whenever you're ready, we'll just we'll pick you guys up.
You
go in the elevator, and you're like, what, now? And you look at each other, and then one of you just starts talking and walking.
But you do meet him ahead of time, and there must be
the audition. I met him on the set.
But there weren't even rehearsals for the film?
No.
Awesome.
He expects
you. Did he ever give you
direction? Lisa, the men are talking. I've been breaking
her
chops.
He's so nice to me off the air.
No, I've been breaking. First of all, love the haircut. I love what you did in the back.
Thank you.
And
I want everyone to know how much I love Lisa. And I've been totally more than usual. Like, why is he breaking Lisa's chops all of a sudden?
Okay, I'll ask the question so you'll respond coming from a guy.
No, I want Lisa. Lisa, go ahead.
Did he give you any direction in terms of your acting, your emotion?
Faster.
That's it?
Yeah, we're not making a 4-hour saga.
Clint Eastwood told you that.
A little faster. That's it.
Wow. Now the thing I've heard from actors, and I'm in awe of. I mean, you could take any 10 years of this man's career, and it would be classic. I mean, the guy has been for 50 years. He's had an unbelievable career. But I think the movies that he's made in the last 10 years have been among the best that have ever been made.
Brandon is one of my favorites.
I'm just in awe.
But
I
stand by Bridges in Madison County. I love that movie.
It was a great movie.
I love Bleed too. So I mean, what do you want?
Wow. All right.
But I mean, I look at his Mystic River and his World War II movies and all the stuff he's been. I mean, he's the
Mystic
guy.
Mystic River is great. Just to hear Lawrence Fishburne try to do a Boston accent and it comes out as an angry black New Yorker.
But everybody,
what do you want me to do, Frank? Take this guy in the yard and kick his ass. Like, whoa, whoa.
Everybody says that he's super, super low key.
I'm sorry, but I said Samuel Jackson. I meant to say
Lawrence Fishburne.
I did? Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Bean, go ahead. Sorry. And everybody in your cars, I'm sorry. This is like stop and go traffic with my mouth.
But he basically, all of his movies come in like under budget and on time, and you work a reasonable day, and you just show up and you do it, and you just go home, and there's no drama and no excitement and no explosions, and it's just fun, right?
Yeah, I was supposed to work 11 days. I worked 4. They had me scheduled for 11 days of work.
Were you not very good?
No, just cut
your part way down.
He's done at lunch. The closest I've ever come to drinking since I stopped drinking, we were filming in a sports bar, me and Matt Damon, and I got money on the game on the screen, and he's telling me something serious, and I'm like, box out! Come on, box out! Oh! And he's telling me something serious, and I'm kind of listening, and I'm kind of invested in the game. And then we rap, and it was this old, like, Czechoslovakian couple who've owned this bar in, like, Castro Hill or whatever forever. And they go, he goes, that's lunch, everybody. See you tomorrow. And I'm like, lunch and tomorrow? Like, that's never happened before in my life. And so the owners come out, and they're like this little sweet old couple, and they go, now we treat you to Czechoslovakian beer.
All right.
And then Clint looks at me and goes, Jay, would you like to join me for a Czechoslovakian beer?
Oh, wow. That's a good offer.
And that was the closest I've ever come to going, I'll just go to a meeting tomorrow and it'll be okay. I slipped because Clint Eastwood offered me a cocktail.
How do you turn that down?
Because I figured how many more movies does he have left in him? If it was like 8 years ago, I'd be all over it.
But Jay, for instance, Jay,
I don't want to throw away my sobriety and then be like,
for no reason.
I don't drink at all, Jay, all right? I'm not a drinker at all.
You're a serial killer.
Period. No, but when Bono says, hey, have a Guinness with me, which happened, Kevin, if you recall, when we did the breakfast with you two, I said, yes, sir, I will have a Guinness with you.
But you're not sober. You don't drink. That's different.
I'm not sober. I don't drink.
What?
I'm not sober. I don't drink.
Okay.
It'd be a disservice to people fighting for their lives and sobriety for me to say that I'm sober.
Okay, so you don't drink. But couldn't you tell Clint Eastwood, I'll just have water. Can I sit with you still and...
No, because then you're like,
move along. Then you're pussy.
You're pussy. All right. He's, yeah.
He goes, that's what I tell my son. Don't get married till you're 65. Because he's his second wife.
How do you
I guess
lead
he,
with that story.
He's 65. You got to warm into it. Yeah. Did you see April Foolishness? How I handled that?
You did, yeah.
He goes, you got to see a few pitches, and then you got to take the one you want. He goes, I told my son, don't get married till you're 65. That way, if you want to cheat, you got to go out and get some goddamn Cialis and have someone drive you.
Kent is here. He's playing a Hollywood Improv Saturday night. This Saturday night, 7:30 and 9:30. He's also playing Irvine tomorrow night, and we will continue on the Kevin.
Celebrating his birthday today, ladies and gentlemen, the great Tracy Morgan.
Years old, like Reggie Jackson.
From 30 Rock.
Martinez Jackson.
Is in a studio with us, or it's really Jay Moore. I can't tell these
Jay
days.
Jay Moore got me pregnant. That's why my belly's so big like this. Everybody driving in your car is pregnant. Your left arm is pregnant. That's Jay why you got thumbs. That's a baby on your arm.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that, Tracy.
Now you know. One to grow on.
How did Tracy Morgan end up being the new Christopher Walken for the 21st century for you? How did that become so popular for you?
I'm going to answer you if you would let me.
I'm sorry, Tracy.
It was organic. You just sitting around, smoke a little bop, and all of a sudden he rolls out your mouth like that.
Uh-huh.
It's my 75th birthday. James Earl Jones is my biological father. Rob O'Neill is my mother.
Do you have any advice for Liz Lemons?
Get pregnant, Liz Lemon. You know what's amazing about Tracy Morgan is on 30 Rock, he's a different man. And they have to write all of his dialogue out phonetically so he can talk like this, Liz Lemon.
I don't think that's true. That doesn't sound right
well,
to me.
Well, he don't sound like this. I know Dirty Rock.
I will tell you that the wild card for the 30 Rock live show a couple of weeks ago, and everybody knew it was, what's Tracy Morgan going to do? And it was so brilliant how they incorporated that into the show by making his character be the wild card on live TV, too.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
I got Liz Lemon pregnant.
Yes, you did.
That's why she's wearing them glasses, so she can't see where I come from.
You know what's bizarre is when Jay does that voice, he's got the eye movement.
Oh, his face, everything.
His whole face is Tracy.
Yeah.
And when I'm watching 30 Rock, like on that recent episode when Tracy Morgan did the thing where he rolled his shirt up, you know, and stick out his belly and stuff like that, all I could picture in my mind was Jay Moore doing the same thing when he's doing Tracy Morgan. It
it's
just cracks
be a lot
me up
of Tracy
so bad.
Morgan at the Irvine Improv tomorrow night.
Jay Moore's. By the
Jay
way,
Moore's is legendary. You my uncle. Me and Tracy were at the Improv once. This is back in the drinking days, and we were pretty hammered. And he wanted to fight every single member coming out of the showroom for some reason. And he was like, "Yeah, Jay Moore's, I miss my daughter. I'm out here on the West Coast, and I miss my daughter." And then people are just coming out of the showroom, and he's like getting in like these big affliction shirted. Muscle juice box guys' faces going, "I miss my daughter," and they're like
"It's
oh.
their fault."
They're like, "Okay, he doesn't have a daughter."
Oh,
he's got three sons. And they go, "Tracy, take it easy." And he flips his arm back, and I go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa!" And he goes, "I ain't gonna fight you, Jay Moore. I know you're legendary. You choked out the big man on the 17th floor with the blue shag carpet."
What's he that talking about? Do you have any idea?
When I wrestled Farley, I believe.
Oh my God!
But
that's
how
awesome.
Jess Tracy's been. You choked out the big man on the 17th floor on the blue shag carpet. You legendary, like Richard Pryor wearing them gold shoes on. Well, hey, I was watching the news before I came in here.
Yes.
It was up on your guys' monitor, and the guy was doing the weather.
Yes,
and they do a good job telling us it's between 51 and 72 today.
Yeah, which is always is.
But why does every weatherman in L.A. have a name of a gay porn star? It's like Johnny Mountain.
Dallas Rains, Johnny Mountain, Mr. G.
Who's the other one?
I didn't know you did Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
Fritz Coleman.
Here I come. It's going to precipitate on your back.
Okay. Wow.
If you're out in the rain, I covered you up so you didn't have to use it.
Johnny Mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Johnny Mountain.
Does that sound like it could possibly be his real name? Nor does Dallas Rains for a weatherman,
it's
by the way.
I'm Dallas Rains. I'm Pat O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. Oh, little Pat O'Brien stopping by. Pat, we understand you're doing sports radio now. How's that treating you?
I don't know.
You know what I'm obsessed with now is Chris Berman on Monday Night Football. Like,
yes.
Because he'll always go like, "The Raiders and the G-Man at Lambeau Field."
He is really upping it this year.
And then at the end he gets serious and goes, "And you know, Tom, our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Austin Cali." It's like, no, you can't make that 180 on the 405, dude. You can't make a K-turn in traffic like that.
Lambeau Field. Boom, boom, they're not going to get him. He could. He goes on a whoop, whoop, whoa.
And you know, Tom, when we're trick-or-treating, let's not forget to slow it down for all the little boys and girls. Guys, back to you.
He has gone crazy this year. I have noticed that, too. I don't know what's happened. It's like he's on speed or something.
Everyone in the business has gone crazy. You guys make producer Dave, an obvious Mexican, sound like a French-Canadian when you reenact his enactments.
It's impossible to talk like him.
Really I'm in my car listening, and I'm like, producer Dave, to the best of my knowledge, is a vato. And you guys are like, the drunker he gets, the more you make him like a drunken lager from Montreal.
That's
he's
him.
A left wing from the Canadians. He's like, "Listen, I don't know what you want from me." He's Pepe Le Pew crossed with like Georges Laroque from the Calgary Flames.
Let's go, Flames!
Johnny Mountain.
Jay Moore is here. He is playing tomorrow night in Irvine at the Improv. And he's playing Saturday night in Hollywood at the Improv. Saturday night, two shows, 7:30 and 9:30. And we will return with more.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Jay Moore is here on stage tomorrow night in Irvine at the Improv, and this Saturday night he's playing the Hollywood Improv, which I think he told us a few minutes ago. You've never done a show at the Hollywood Improv before?
I've done a set where you walk in and you're one of eight guys, but I never just had the Saturday to myself where it's
fantastic.
Just me. So that
you can also see him in the new film Hereafter, which is in theaters right now. By the way, speaking of films, Unstoppable opens on Friday. We've got Chris Pine, the co-star of that movie along with Denzel Washington. We've got Chris Pine joining us in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is he in studio?
No, we just got him on the phone. He's in New York,
I drove in here today.
You did, yeah.
And we appreciate it. I was a half hour early.
You always drive in, and most of the time you're early as well.
No crew, nothing. Just like April Foolishness. Yeah. Got out of my car, walked on stage, walked off. I knew the ball cleared the fence. I went home. People go, how did everybody else do? I said, it doesn't matter. Bases were jammed. Bases were loaded. They got unloaded. I went home.
Yeah. Now, Jay brought up something during the song, and we had a conversation just a few days ago about whether To Catch a Predator is still on the air or
it's
not.
Horrible. It's unwatchable.
Somebody said they don't make it anymore because
that's
of that guy that guy that shot himself.
Yeah, because that guy killed himself while they were outside.
That's why they should keep making it.
I agree.
Yes.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
That's Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen.
Talking to Pat O'Brien via cell phone. Oh, my God. Betsy's totally into it. Betsy's into it. If you want to wrestle with me, just blink or something. I want to wrestle you. My problem with Chris Hansen is...
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
My problem with Chris Hansen is, A, he never goes to the Irvine Improv tomorrow night.
Well, how do you know that if it's tomorrow night?
No, you know why? Because I want to add a second show. That's why I'm hitting it so hard.
Oh, that would be badass.
Okay. All right, but listen. The problem with Chris Hansen is the whole point of the show is to catch guys trying to have sex with minors.
Right.
So why would you hire the only person in show business that can't say the word sex? Chris Hansen's like, you came here for sex. Like he's a drunken Tom Brokaw Connery. I want to have sex with you. Did you bring the condoms and have sex? And he says it over and over and over. And every guy has the same rap. They're like, what? No. Why don't you have a sheet over there? That's the best part. First of all, the decoy girl doesn't look 13. She's wearing like a wig she took off a mannequin at JCPenney. She's always wearing like camouflage pants. Like, that'll confuse the guy. And like a little sport shirt that says teen team or something. And then she's like, oh my God, I'm totally just like showering. So just like sit down and have some cookies and lemonade. Because, you know, when I am about to indulge in underage sex, I enjoy a nice glass of Country Time lemonade and some cookies. And the fact that my 13-year-old prey has baked for me knows that I've picked the right one to run through the forest with and chase with a claw hammer. So she goes, just sit down and have some cookies. I'm just showering. It's like, really? Because you're completely dressed. So how are you just toweling off if I just saw you in the driveway with your wacky wig dressed? And then the guy sits down, picks up cookies, picks up iced tea, and Chris Hansen goes, why don't you have a sheet right over there? And the guy's already sitting down. So the guy's totally off his game already, because you're sitting down, and then Chris Hansen comes out, who looks like Bob's big boy, and goes, why don't you have a sheet right over there? And the guy's like, I am sitting. And then he goes, what are you doing here, Jimmy? You said, play it again? I
want to
wrestle.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
And he always said, have you always tried? I can't even say what I'm going to say because I don't want you guys to hit the button.
Right.
And I heard it hurts. And trust me, it'll hurt in a really great way. You'll scream with pleasure. These are all things you wrote. Now, at this point, the guy is still eating his freaking macadamia nut cookie.
He's trying to figure out how to get out of it.
Right. But here's what I don't understand. Out of law of averages, out of every sexual predator out there on the planet, and these guys are actual sexual predators because they went to a house to have sex with a 13-year-old.
Right, right.
Why can't one of these guys, just for us, the viewer, sit down and when Chris Hansen goes, well, what do you think you're doing here today for sex? Why can't one guy just go, yeah, I came to have sex with a 13-year-old. What's the problem? Well, and that's the guy that'll get off because they'll say he's mentally insane. Instead of the guy they all go, I'm here to save her.
Yeah, right, that's my favorite. That. I love that guy. Really? I was worried she was getting in with a bad crowd, I wanted to come over to make sure she was okay.
That's not my favorite. My favorite is the guy who's seen the show.
Yeah.
And is there. He's like, I've seen the show before.
There's a lot of Indian guys. A lot of guys named Pradeep make their way into that living room.
Here's my favorite that I have at my fingertips of Chris Hansen, and it's the best when he reads the chat transcripts with the guy sitting there at the table.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? Trash. I love to suck play and suck play with lick nipples and licking and you. Where is that in the Bible? Explain that to me.
There's a human part.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Neither.
Well, if Chris Hansen wasn't such an idiot, he knows that's Corinthians.
But Hansen is having the time of his life because he knows he holds all the cards because there's a camera crew on him. The police have surrounded the place. There's nothing bad that's going to happen to him. And he can just sit there and just terrorize this guy.
And don't you find it funny when he says, you're free to leave, and then they go out and they get stun gunned?
That's awesome.
I would say, I'm not leaving until I have sex with a 13-year-old. That's what I'm here for. What, you are totally blocking me. You are C-blocking me. This is what I like, too, is they got like 40 cops outside with 9mm, tase my foot. They come out with the Glocks and the rifles. They're like public enemy number one's leaving the house. What you got to do, the guy could have a weapon. Sure. I understand. I'm all completely pro-law enforcement. Then one episode, there was a cop in a tree suit.
In a what?
Yeah.
There's a cop in a tree suit.
Like
doing,
he was in Nam or something.
Doing surveillance. And that's got to be amazing. You're going to go to jail for 2 years for having short eyes, and you get arrested for a guy dressed up in a Charlie Brown Christmas play. This guy's dressed up like he just walked off the boards at F.N. Brown Elementary School. And he's like, get on the ground! And you're like, wow, what was in those cookies? A tree is yelling at me. That tree wants you to have sex in its knothole.
Well, they're doing a disservice to the children of America if they really took that show off, because it was effective, because it was actually catching predators. So put it back on. That's what we're saying, I think.
Where are people like Bean going to get dates?
How dare you? Irvine Improv, so far just one show, but buy enough tickets, maybe they'll add a second one. That's going to be tomorrow night.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
And also Saturday night in Hollywood, get information on both shows at improv.com. Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
So are we saying goodbye to Jay, or is Jay sticking around to join us?
I don't know. Ask Jay. Can you stick around?
Yeah.
All right.
I love Ralph. Ralph is my uncle.
We'll be right back.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is it's 8:54.
Hey, sweetie.
I know.
Here,
is Ralph okay?
This doesn't help.
Well, the headphones.
Well, not with that attitude, Missy.
We have headphones that don't have any padding. Can you give them?
Switch with me.
No, this is
that
fine.
Can be painful.
This is good. This right. is. Does that work? I got this jammed in there. It's all good.
Where are sweaty Jay Moore's headphones?
And the headphones are working right there. I don't want his sweaty chest hair filled.
No, I just switched because I had the crummy ones, and Kevin made me switch. You had the bad ones.
Yeah, no, you're the guest. You should get the good ones.
Switch with
me. I'll suffer. I'm good.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Ralph is here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, don't mind. Don't worry. I'm fine. You be happy. That's more important is your happiness, not mine.
It's a shidduch.
It is. Good yontif to you all.
It means marriage, Kevin.
Okay, good.
I want to give away passes to the advanced screening of Unstoppable, new action thriller starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. Chris Pine's way too attractive. Makes me uncomfortable.
Denzel Washington apparently only now does movies that involve trains.
That's correct.
That's right.
He did the Pelham one, didn't he?
Next he's doing Lionel Santa Fe Line.
Then the Polar Express, a remake of that. It's going to be very successful. Friday, November 12th, it's in theaters everywhere. You can see it for anybody else. If you're the first call to get through at 1-800-520-1067. That number again, 1-800-520-1067. More is quickly jotting
it
down.
I'm never going to get it.
You're never going to get the phone out in time. No, someone
say it
else
again.
Is going to win.
They're already calling. They're already calling. It's too late.
These other people are already at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call if you'd like to go to the advanced screening of Unstoppable, starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine.
Ringing?
No
call
service?
No service in here.
No service in here.
It's rigged.
It's a fail on a lot of directions.
It's rigged. If we had given you tickets, then it would be rigged.
You know what, Ralph?
What's that, Jay?
Is there a sign on my front lawn that says dead?
Oh, my God.
No, you want to know why?
Because right, storing the dumb button
isn't my business.
Courtney Love. We talked about her last hour. How she bid $17,000 to have lunch at Adrian Brody's house for a celebrity charity auction.
Now that's strange.
Now she's apologizing to a journalist from the New York Times for doing an interview with him drunk and nude.
She was naked, too?
Yeah.
That's not a surprise.
No, it's not. But she's trying to clean up her act, right?
Did he say,
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad?
Did he say that to her?
The interview, which was published by the paper last Friday, November 5th, begins with Love admitting she was slightly drunk. She kept reporter Eric Wilson waiting for an hour in her hotel suite. Then she appeared nude. Then she put on a pair of underwear she told him cost $4,000. Still doesn't cover that smell.
They were made out of Kurt Cobain's ashes.
I don't care what it's made out of. Should be made out of charcoal filters.
Jesus. Come on now.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
Then she put on a trench coat and walked through the lobby and exposed her breasts.
She does enjoy that.
I like when she fills her underpants with nicotine gum. I don't know what that means.
Is that code?
It sounded completely strange to me.
Courtney says it was a combination of Zoloft and a drink that caused her irresponsible wild behavior. I'm so humiliated, she writes.
Oh, she's not humiliated.
That simply isn't me, she says.
Please.
It has been, but I haven't been such a mess for quite some time.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
I trust you understand that our hearts can take us all to dark and ill-timed places.
I'm sorry. Whose heart takes them to dark and what places?
Ill-timed.
My heart takes me to wonderful places, bright places. I live in the light. My heart has never led me to an alley to score dope and do a naked interview with a journalist. You know why? Because nobody wants to interview me.
Well, that's part of it.
Except Kevin and Bean.
But would you do it nude if they did?
If I needed that much attention, probably, yeah.
All right. Didn't you and Mike compare penises one time?
I tried, but he wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't go for it?
No, we totally
did. Yeah, they did.
It's so simple to me.
They did.
We compared sacks, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Let's move on.
Shacks?
Shacks.
Compare shacks?
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
At the Irvine Improv tomorrow night.
Wow.
Who knew that was on?
Jonas LA has been canceled.
What?
What is that?
What?
That's the TV show over there on the Disney Channel starring the Jonas Brothers.
Bro, oh. For real? I thought you said Lola, like Law and Order Los Angeles.
No.
I almost went bad.
Jonas LA.
Because you like that show?
I read for it, auditioned for it, didn't get it. I watched it. I'm glad I didn't get it because I love it so much.
Oh, wow.
Right. And that's entertainment, folks. I just sound like an old Jew. I auditioned. I didn't get it, but I don't mind because I like watching it. Back to you, Javi.
It's so good.
It's like having Bobby Slayton back in here.
The pitfall of comedy. Forget about it.
What
does he know? He's only been doing comedy 40 years.
Yeah, Jonas Brothers are out of work.
That's sad.
I think they'll be fine.
I think everybody will be all right.
What? What are you doing?
Just changing his microphone so he can be heard.
Yeah, that's what you need out of me. More volume.
Yeah, we can't quite hear Jay. That's our problem. And the 2011 People's Choice Awards were announced today. The nominees were announced, and no one gives a crap. So,
hey, I won one of those once.
Did you really?
Back when I had heat.
You didn't accept it, though, right?
I did, indeed. You kidding me?
Really?
I won it right after Jordan Sparks.
Where is it?
It's in my... I gave it to my grandmother.
What'd you win it for, Jay?
Best new show, Gary and Married.
Yeah.
That's what Ralph is saying.
That's
about
all you need to know about the People's Choice Awards. Right,
we were
there
up against Kath and Kim and something that got canceled.
No. I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
We were up against To Catch a Bride on our Raw.
You did outlast Kath and Kim, that's for sure.
We did indeed.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Russell Johnson. He was the professor on Gilligan's Island. He's 86 years old now.
Wow. I was going to say, he must be 100.
Yeah. Tracy Morgan celebrates his 42nd birthday.
Blow out the candles.
What are you doing for your birthday, Trace?
I'm going to get me a big cake and go to Scores, and I'm going to rub icing all over some booty glop. Flippity flim blam.
Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is
41. She also has Sheila Badashes, and you can see how she says sex.
Jim Adkins of Jimmy Eat World is 35. And Warren G celebrates his 40th birthday.
Oh, Warren G.
Is his best friend Nate Dogg.
Oh, Jay up in this bitch.
Recorded a track for his birthday to help celebrate. Of course, Nate had a stroke recently, sure. But it doesn't stop him from putting out good music, and this one's dedicated to his friend Warren G.
The heavy sound of the wind is powerful girls.
That's good.
Yeah, I like it.
I appreciate the effort.
That's a nice tribute.
That's a nice birthday sentiment.
Dummies with strokes. You know what's funny about a stroke is the person that has one for like a month and they don't go to the doctor. Like, I've been driving.
That is funny.
I've been driving and I see spots. Well, you should go to the doctor, stupid. Then one day you can't talk out of the right side of your mouth because you were Mr. Macho and couldn't go see a freaking doctor.
I keep smelling burnt toast for no reason.
Wow,
should I go to the doctor?
When I wake up, my right side is numb. It's been like 3 weeks now. Go to the doctor, you moron. You're having a stroke.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right, we've got to say goodbye to Jay. Sure,
goodbye, Jay.
You're my man, Ralph.
You're my man.
Tomorrow night, Irvine Improv. Saturday night, two shows at the Hollywood Improv. I'm going to keep selling it even though he's talking over me.
Sorry.
Jay,
what
anytime,
would you say?
We love having you in.
Oh, I said
Hollywood
tomorrow,
Improv.
Saturday night, tomorrow night, Irvine.
Oh,
all right.
It's a good deal.
Thanks, guys.
Jay Moore,
thanks,
thank you.
Jay. Yo, listen.
I am actually exhausted from spending an hour with Jay Moore. I don't know how the guy survives at that pace.
I don't either. But he's
and
the funniest man alive.
We couldn't get him to leave. Funniest man alive. Couldn't get him to leave. Finally left. He'd been gone 10 seconds. Door opened back up. He came in and said, what did I miss? Anyway, good times here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You know, we've all week long, and including later this hour, we're going to give away some more tickets for you to see Unstoppable ahead of its opening in theaters on Friday. This one looks great. You put Tony Scott, the director, together with his man Denzel Washington. You can't go wrong. And then you add a fine actor like Chris Pine, who joins us on the phone of the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Now you got yourself a must-see. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
We're glad to talk to you. Look, once you're Captain Kirk, let's face it, you pretty much got your pick of movies. But I imagine when you saw Tony Scott and Denzel Washington wanted you, you said, it's a no-brainer. I got to do this one, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, growing up, one of the first movies I watched over and over again was Top Gun. And so I love Tony Scott and Denzel. I've been watching since Glory. So it's definitely an out-of-body moment when you get to say yes to making a movie with the two guys. It's pretty surreal.
Now, Chris, I'm going to ask you a question that's politically incorrect. But when you watch Top Gun now, maybe the gayest movie ever. Right?
Tony actually
right?
said that he won some kind of award. He was on the cover of, like, Bear Magazine or something. the volleyball scene.
Yes.
It's pretty epic.
All right. So I know you're being straight with me. Good.
Yeah, it is so funny that we didn't realize it at the time. It just
that's right. Like, and especially all the guys are watching it, loving it, and only now are you embarrassed.
That's right. Now let's talk about Denzel, who really is one of the great one of the greatest actors out there working. There's a reason the man has won two Academy Awards. You get on set with him, and I know that you're a professional actor, and you've got a lot of experience, but it still has to be somewhat intimidating when you're in that first scene with Denzel freaking Washington, doesn't it? Isn't it kind of hard to put that out of your mind, that that's who he is, and just concentrate on what your characters are supposed to be doing?
Well, I appreciate you calling me a professional actor next to Denzel Washington, because I certainly felt, you know, the first scene that I shot with him is that first scene where we meet for the first time it's in the trailers when the guy's talking about how, you know, he doesn't want to be working with the kids from the nursery school or
right.
whatever that line is. And right. I was, you know, I have to make this long walk all the way up and shake hands with Frank, with Denzel, and it's like stepping into the ring with a heavyweight, I guess. You feel like you need to be as best prepared as you can be, because he is, you know, he is indeed one of the best.
You feel like you have to step up your game because you're opposite him.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Now, it's a train movie, which, you know, automatically has some built-in difficulties, because from the looks of it, I mean, you guys are in some pretty hairy situations in an actual real train that's moving pretty fast. This isn't all green screen work you're doing this time around.
I think, hopefully, the niche that the movie fills, you know, I think nowadays, especially with, you know, with Star Trek or with whatever it may be, Iron Man, or it's definitely a superhero heavy world. And I think what's nice about this film is that, you know, these two guys are really everyday heroes. They would be the guys that you'd see at the grocery store, or, you know, sitting next to you in a restaurant. They're just normal guys stuck in an absurdly extraordinary situation, and there is no green screen, and it is indeed, you know, real stuff, real steel, real trains, and no green screen.
But the fact that you eventually get to the point where you realize you have to chop off your own arm or you're going to die out there on the mountain. I mean,
very different movie.
Oh, am I?
I appreciate it, though.
Very different.
I'm confused. I'm sorry.
I often get that.
And that's one of the things. You brought up a great theme for so many great movies, which is ordinary people in extraordinary situations. And you look at it and go, man, if I wish I could be as cool as the guy up there on the screen who figures out a way to handle this situation that is just, you know, on the surface, most of us would just give up.
I think that's exactly right. I think it, you know, people might knock the story for being, you know, simple, but I think that's the beauty of it, is that the story doesn't get any more complicated than two guys stuck with a really difficult decision that's basically between being selfish or selfless. And I think as audience members, we watch it and we see the, you know, the best and worst parts about ourselves. Especially with Will, you see me basically being somewhat of a jerk and selfish and angry and bitter and resentful, and then having to kind of shear off all of that selfishness and become selfless. And in doing that, you save a town, and, you know, he saves his own marriage.
Hey, hey, don't give it away, man.
Oh, sorry. Come on, oh, my bad.
It's called Spoiler. Unstoppable.
Spoiler.
If that train
say,
stops,
he might
it's poorly named.
Marriage. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right, good.
Kevin, my partner here, Chris, Kevin was saying earlier, he's gonna tell him up front when he buys the ticket, look, this movie's called Unstoppable. If this train stops, I want my money back. I'm going to be disappointed.
Such a smart man.
All right. What's the clip we have from the film here, Kevin?
This is Denzel talking to Chris, and they're talking about the situation and what the people are saying.
The situation is in this movie? Are you kidding me?
Come on. Damn it. How dare you?
Whoa, wait a minute. The only way to stop that kind of power, grab it by the tail, boom, gun in the opposite direction.
We can't just chase down. If it goes down, we're going to be a wreck on a wreck.
Doesn't matter. There's a good chance the derailleur won't work.
It's called a derailleur, for Christ's sake. That's what
that
they do.
Size, going that fast, it'll vaporize anything that gets in its way.
They wouldn't use it if they didn't.
They're wrong, all right? They're wrong. Are you in or are you out?
Okay, you want to get yourself killed, you do it alone.
All right. Okay. Yes.
So stressful.
I smell dramatic tension right there. The film is called Unstoppable. It looks great. It opens up everywhere on Friday. Chris Pine, great to finally have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for having me on, and I've been listening to you guys for years now. So
we'll have to have you in soon.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll have to have you in soon. Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it. I don't know. Is this real? Is this a story that Dave found for us? Is this an actual thing that you can buy and actually use that works?
Well, supposedly there's a new smartphone app that will allow you to find out within minutes whether you have a sexually transmitted disease or not. This is according to the London Guardian, newspaper in England, of course.
Okay.
They say that you put urine or saliva onto a computer chip, plug the chip into your iPhone, and it will tell you. Now, that sounds... Here's what I know about
insane.
Electronics. Here's what I know about electronics. Moisture, electronics, equals
right.
moisture.
Good point.
Right. Not a good mix.
So,
I don't know. I don't understand this at all. But look, there was a time where it would have been crazy to think you could find out whether you were pregnant in 2 minutes by peeing on a stick. So who knows what they're coming up with. But apparently this is something that is for reals in Britain. We asked producer Alex to line somebody up to tell us more about it. And the doctor is named Reginald Denny. He is at the Oxford University School of Medicine. What are the chances? We had a very famous guy by that name in America as well. Dr. Denny, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I very much appreciate it.
We're not at all trying to be skeptical, sir. It's just that sometimes it's tough to get your head around new technology, especially something that sounds as simple as this that would be such a valuable resource for people.
Oh, no concern at all, because let's face it, certain technology in certain periods of time are so advanced they'd be considered magic.
Sure.
And this may be one of such breakthroughs. We believe really this will be a boon to science and also help stem the tide against sexually transmitted diseases and other potential deadly diseases.
So what about Kevin's concern, which is liquid plus electronics generally makes the electronics malfunction?
Well, the computer chip itself is self-contained in a plastic wrap.
Okay.
And what you do is you would put saliva or urine on the chip, close up the top of it, and then slide it into this separate USB container that we have.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then the computer simply does the rest. And with the appropriate technology and the appropriate application downloaded onto your smartphone, you would be able to get a diagnosis in a matter of seconds.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
Your mobile phone, then, your smartphone, could actually be a doctor and diagnose you in minutes.
Absolutely. Now, of course, at that point, you would have to seek further medical help and properly be treated for whatever diagnosis it appeared, and it wouldn't be a horrible idea to have a second diagnosis by an actual medical professional.
Sure.
But this would be an early indicator, and we believe would help people stem the tide.
All right.
Okay. And what's the range of maladies that you could diagnose with a device like this, sir?
Well, potentially, with the prototype we're using here at Oxford, it can break down urine into several different categories, not only STDs, but other components, perhaps even toxicology. You would be able to detect certain drugs and alcohols.
Wow.
It would give you an entire spectrum of information about a person just from saliva or urine.
That does seem light years ahead of where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to prove the fact, I took the liberty, I hope you don't mind, of having your producer, Alex, send me a urine sample from each of you there in the studio.
Oh.
How did she get that?
That's between you and your producer.
Okay.
I have no idea. I just made a request to to perhaps drive home the point with a simple demonstration. Oh. She made available a small sample of each of your urine.
Okay. I didn't see her running around the studio with a Q-tip the other day, but I had no idea what that was about. So, all right. Well,
I've
got several
specimens in front of me. I've got an L. May.
Lisa May.
That's me.
Yes. Okay.
Taken the liberty of putting that onto the small chip, and then we're plugging it into the prototype smartphone.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay.
All right, we've got the results here. Mm-hmm. The urine is maybe basically consists of Splenda, White Zinfandel, and syphilis.
That is about what I would have expected.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the syphilis is a bit of a surprise, yeah. I have to say.
73% Splenda,
uh-huh. Yeah.
11% White Zinfandel, and the rest pure syphilis.
Wow. Okay. All right. I need to go see someone.
Yeah.
We've got B. Baxter here.
Yes, Bean. That's Bean.
Baxter.
Yes. Okay, that's me.
Run this through the prototype.
Uh-oh.
The diagnosis is the urine is primarily made up of vanilla cherry coke, hoof and mouth disease, and Asperger's.
That is some good diagnosis.
That's dead on.
If we had doubts that this thing was accurate, I think they've been shot. Wow. Okay. What else you got, doctor?
M. Catherwood. M. Catherwood.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike.
Yes.
Right.
All right. Let's run that through the prototype. The urine apparently showing significant amounts of steroids and bacterial vaginosis.
Oh, wow.
Tell her she needs to get to a doctor right away.
She needs to get to a doctor right away.
Yes. Right.
We'll let her know, yes.
You should be able to smell it by now.
Oh, man. That's ugly.
Glendale. And K. Ryder.
No one here by that name.
K. Ryder.
That's Kevin. All right.
Our last sample. Run that through. I'm sorry, there must be some mistake. Let's run this through again, this sample.
Did it not work?
What's going on?
This is just not funny. I don't find this humorous at all.
What?
What happened, doctor?
What did you say?
I asked for samples of urine, and it's just, it's not fair for you to send me simply some vodka and Red Bull in a bottle. I don't understand that at all.
No, I think Alex actually did collect a urine sample. That came right out of Kevin's body.
It's pure vodka and Red Bull.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting a touch of Alzheimer's. All right, that makes sense. There we go. Cheerio.
Okay. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, not enough Edmund Fitzgerald tribute on the program today for my
just
money.
Plenty.
I just like to point out 35th anniversary. Seems like we could have squeezed. I know we had a very busy show. Seems like...
Can't hear you. Sorry.
This is the song.
Back of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Gordon Lightfoot.
Saying we could have squeezed in a little bit more time for a tribute to the crash. That's all I'm saying.
We're saying that we squeezed in plenty. Don't worry about it.
Bump that hack, Chris Pine. You can't keyboard cat me off here. Come on.
It's not us.
You
can. It's the keyboard cat.
The cat makes his own rules.
By the way, every time we play that song, people email and call and say, what is that? What is that? What is that? Because it's impossible. You can't hear any
keyboard
lyrics.
Cat? No, there's no lyrics.
No, the Chacarone.
Oh.
So I put another post up today, another one, and I put a link to the YouTube video of the dude that sings this. We put it up like four times, so just check it, and Chacarone, just stop asking us what it is. Time for the show this beat. Here's Ralph.
Kevin hates it when listeners show interest in our program. That's what's basically going on here.
Same question over and over, though, can get a little stale, especially when you've gone out of your way to provide them with the answer. With just a little bit of effort, they could find the answer.
So KevinandBean.com answers that question for you, is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right, here's Ralph with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
They all went and died and they're dead. Died and they died and they won't be a living.
Why would you encourage that?
Just saying, it's in my head now. Wreck of the other.
Let's get it out.
I appreciate that.
6,000 ships have been lost on the Great Lakes in the four centuries since Europeans first came to trade along their shores. This is.
How dare you?
Oh. Cat.
Well, the cat.
Mind of its own.
Cat's got a mind of his own.
It's the way cats are, you know.
I've got passes to give away to the advanced screening of Unstoppable, starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. You guys just spoke with Chris.
Yes.
Seemed like a charming young man.
Yes,
very nice. Cool.
Even when Bean accused him of being in 127 hours, he seemed to take that in stride.
He took that at well, yeah.
I was impressed.
It was good.
Friday, November 12th.
We got a winner!
It'll be in theaters everywhere, but if you'd like to go beforehand, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First caller to get through wins a pair of passes to the Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Unstoppable. Cher was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award on Monday night.
How many times has she gotten that?
A Lifetime Achievement?
Yeah, like 10 times?
I don't know about that.
She's
90. I know she's had a farewell tour that's lasted about 14 years.
Yeah.
She was named the 2010 Woman of the Year by Glamour Magazine.
Cher.
She said that she's had some huge losses to deal with in her life, but they've only made her stronger. And that no is just a word someone made up, she said in her acceptance speech.
Really?
Yes. To honor her, several of her original body parts showed up to pay tribute to Cher. And they were in the audience. It was nice for her to see her old nose and her old boobs and her old ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't all words that someone made up?
Yes,
like,
of course.
Every single one of them?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was her being creative.
Yeah.
Just don't listen to the naysayers, I guess, is what she's shooting for. Oh, good news.
Excellent.
Nicole Richie's going to get her own sitcom. Finally, funny woman Nicole Richie is being appreciated for the comic genius that she is.
No.
And ABC's going to give her a sitcom.
Was her last one the one with Paris Hilton? Was that the...
She wasn't The Simple Life. She did the reality show, several series of that with her pal, Nicole. Paris Hilton. She's done a bunch of acting since. She did a little guest star in Chuck recently, and she's been acting here and there. She's not good, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But she has been working. I'm just so glad that all those really funny women are being kept on the sidelines so we can make room for the Nicole Richie sitcom. And wait, it gets better. It is written by the same guy who created the show Mismatch for Alicia Silverstone. So you know, with a pedigree like that, and Nicole Richie starring in it, ABC's got another slam dunk on their hands.
Can't lose.
Congratulations,
no.
Alphabet
what?
Network.
Ew, no, what's happening?
I really sometimes wonder, I would like to sit in on some of those meetings that happen in those buildings,
mm-hmm.
where someone says, I've got an idea. Nicole Richie, the guy who did Mismatch, remember that show we canceled in 4 episodes? Together. What do you say?
And then they all vote.
Wednesday nights. Yes.
Thumbs up.
Get me that. Go. Green light. Get it on the air. Quick as possible. It's inexplicable.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus has a new boyfriend. Apparently she's seriously crushing on Jared Followill of Kings of Leon.
No, she's going to have to fight our producer Alex for that.
He's not the one who's dating the Victoria's Secret model, is he, Mike? Is that his brother? Is the one who's hooked up with her?
No, I thought,
can't keep all the followers
straight.
I thought
Jared was. He had some super hot model, yeah.
That's what I thought, like engaged to a Victoria's Secret model. So what the hell's going on with Miley being a homewrecker?
Witnesses at the MTV Europe Music Awards tell the New York Post that they were constantly texting each other back and forth and were partying together, left a big event there in Europe together. And apparently have been spending a lot of time together.
Did he say,
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad?
Yes.
Come on. That wasn't that much of a stretch.
It was a little bit of a stretch.
A little.
Yeah. I know she said to him, he's just to be good. And now you're not good anymore with this new album. So I don't think he liked that at all.
What's with that band, man? Aren't they all brothers or something?
That was Psycho Mike.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah.
Doing a wacky voice.
And the situation says life isn't all just GTL.
Wait a minute, I thought it was.
No, he's had some hard times as well. Apparently in 2007, he lost his job, his house, and his car. He said he's had to overcome issues. It says he found the courage somehow to move on and follow his dreams.
His dream was?
I think to... get a Hummer in a restroom in a club in Miami. So I think it all worked out for him. He was able to achieve.
So you need to be on your tip-top game with your GTL to stay FTD to get the girls to DTF in MIA.
Yeah.
That's true. All that's true.
F-U. WTF. Today's celebrity birthdays, I want to once again mention I've gotten some emails from some other members of the Corps who didn't hear the original shout-out today, but we did wish a happy birthday to the United States Marine Corps.
Yep.
Born on this date in 1775 in my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 235 years old, the Corps is today. So to all Marines past, present, and future, I'd like to wish you Semper Fi and happy birthday. Thanks for all your many years of service, Marines.
Because if you didn't do that, we wouldn't be able to sit here and make penis jokes.
That's right.
And that makes us feel good. So thank you.
They got to be proud.
First ones into the S, man. That's when the Marines are.
That's right.
That's our first line of defense.
Then they fail. We got to bring in the army.
They don't. What's wrong with you? Saying.
Wow. How bad do things have to get to bring in the Coast Guard, though? I mean, the Navy is already even out at that point, right? And then they go to the Coast Guard guys?
Well, you got National Guard first, then they go in.
That's right.
Then I think it's like the safety patrol. There's people who like walk people across the streets at schools, crossing guards and stuff. They go in.
The orange vests?
Right.
Then mall cops. You got to call the mall cops in before you get to the Coast Guard, right?
Right.
Parking enforcement.
Parking enforcement, right. The meter maids go and they get activated.
And those old ladies that take your tickets at Dodger Stadium, they right. bring those guys in. They help
Army,
out. Actually.
Salvation Army, yeah. Then the Kiss Army. I think the Kiss Army goes in.
Tiger Army.
Right. Army Archard from Variety Magazine. Yeah, he used to go in. He did. Well, before he passed away. Yeah, Dick Army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. He went in.
Yeah.
Old Navy, the store. They send them the Old Navy with some cargo shorts and some sporty tees.
And village people come in. Right? They save you in the Navy, so they come in to help, right? Yeah.
And then I think you get the Coast Guard. How it works.
All right.
It's quite am I done?
It's
music's
good,
gone?
I thought you were done.
Celebrities, you know, and Warren G. and Jim Atkins of Jimmy Eat World and Ellen Pompeo and Tracy Morgan and Russell Johnson.
Our CD ran out, man. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
No, I'm being played off by the cat.
Oh, that's not right.
Cat
doesn't even like you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Jeffrey Donovan, the star of Burn Notice, on the program.
We have
Dr. Drew tomorrow. From the L.A. Galaxy, we have Landon Donovan in studio.
Dr. Drew's on the L.A. Galaxy?
Yes. He is, just for the Sunday's game.
Wow.
Eric Balfour from Skyline on tomorrow morning's show.
So good.
And
aliens are coming.
They are coming, yeah, and it doesn't look good for us. It looks very bad for us. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Is Tammy Heidi still on vacation?
Yes, I'm afraid so, sir. But 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, nonetheless, coming up next.